Good evening. I'd like to call Planning and Zoning meeting to order. Can we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Clark is excused. Commissioner Nichols?
Present.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan?
Present.
Commissioner Posey?
Present.
Vice Chair Sturman?
Present.
And Chair Harrington?
Present. At this time, we'd like to adjourn to go to executive.
Mr. Chair, at this point, we're going to go to executive session regarding the matter on tonight's agenda. Coming with us will be, of course, your recording clerk, Gina Ancona, myself, Joe Andrews from the legal department. We have Bayer Vella from planning, and we will also have Nathan Rothschild coming in with us from the firm of Meshclarth Rothschild.
Thank you. I'd like to call February 7th, 2023 Planning and Zoning Commission to order. Ms. Ancona, could you please call roll call?
Commissioner Clark is excused. Commissioner Nichols?
Present.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan?
Present.
Commissioner Posey?
Present.
Vice Chair Sturman?
Present.
And Chair Harrington?
Present. We will now recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand. Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight. Looks like we have a large crowd here tonight. We have an overflow capacity outside listening, as well as in a Hopi room, conference room. It is live streamed online. We would like to make sure that you know the staff is, there's bathrooms right outside to the right, restrooms and drinking fountains. So we would like to wish to thank you and for call to audience. If you have a call to audience, there are blue cards in the back to the right. So if you've got questions or you'd like to speak, we'd like you to make sure and fill out a blue card. At this time, we'd like to call the public audience, address the commission. First, what we would do is we'll call three at a time. And if you're in the Hopi room, please make sure.
Mr. Harrington, you're ahead of yourself. Call to the audience is on any item that's not on tonight's agenda. You'll actually open a public hearing in the item later. One moment. If you have a bunch of call to audience cards, that's fine.
Thank you for that. We will go to call to audience. We will call three at a time.
Mr. Harrington, apparently, talking to your clerk, you don't have any call to audience cards this evening. They're all for the item on tonight's agenda.
Sorry about that. All right. We do have blue cards. Polaris. Pursuant to the Arizona open meeting laws, individuals, commissions, members may or may not answer any questions. Town will resume staff review matters, asked by matters, be placed on future agenda items, respond to criticism by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal actions on matters raised during call to audience. In audience for during the call to audience, please specifically ask what you wish to discuss completed in the blue cards.
Mr. Chair, I'll help you out right now. Does anybody in here want to speak to call to the audience, or are we all waiting for the actual item? It looks like everybody's waiting for the item. You can now close call to the audience,
yes.
Mr. Chair.
We would like to close call to audience. All right. Do we have council liaison? Oh, Vice Mayor.
Hi, thank you. It's nice to see you all here this evening. Appreciate your interest and attendance. On 2-1, February 1st, we approved and heard a conditional use permit and architecture for a drive-through car wash at the Oro Valley Marketplace just near the In-N-Out. There was a condition that the traffic pattern for the In-N-Out change, and also that the height remain within the 39 feet that it's currently zoned for gas station. So that was approved on February 1st. Upcoming in our meetings on this Friday, we have our strategic leadership plan retreat meeting, and it will be here in the council chambers, and the public is welcome to attend, although there's no public comment, but the public's welcome to attend if they're interested in that. And on the 15th, February 15th, we'll hear the revised master sign program at Steam Pump Ranch. The northwest corner of Tangerine and La Cañada conditional use permit for a self-storage facility, and a proposed office and drive-through development for the northwest corner of Naranja and La Cañada Drive, conditional use permit for a drive-through facility there. And then on March 1st is scheduled the meeting for council to hear the meeting that's tonight in the planning and zoning, the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. So that's scheduled to come before town council on March 1st. And then we also have some general plan community engagement meetings that we're working on for our next general plan to create a plan for how we're going to do the community engagement and public outreach. So those are some meetings that some of the commission members have attended, and I know you're all the commission members are invited to attend on a couple of Thursday nights to help make sure we get a good public engagement plan put out for the general plan so we can have broad participation for that. So also on March 1st, we'll be approving the draft minutes from those meetings. We've had two of them. I think we have two more coming up. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. Next, Ms. Sacona, would you please agenda item number one?
Review and approval of the January 5th, 2023 study session minutes and the January 10th, 2023 special session meeting minutes.
Ask for a motion.
I move to approve the January 5th and January 10th, 2023 meeting minutes.
I second.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No? Neither. Mr. Kona, could you read agenda item number two?
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action on two items regarding proposed development by the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene, located on the northeast corner of the Calle Concordia and Calle Buena Vista intersection. The items include item A, rezoning from PS, Church of the LDS, PAD, and R1-144, to Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene planned area development for approximately 27 acres. Item B, conceptual architecture for new multi-purpose building and concession building at the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene.
Ms. Sona.
All right, thank you, Chair Harrington. And good evening, members of the commission. My name is Hannah Oden, and I'm a senior planner with the town of Oro Valley. So the purpose of this case is to consider two requests from the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene, which is located at the northeast corner of the Calle Concordia and Calle Buena Vista intersection, and it's approximately 27 acres. So the first is a request to rezone the property to planned area development, or you might hear me refer to it as PAD during my presentation, to accommodate recreational facilities, including a new outdoor athletic field and multi-purpose building. The second request is for approval for conceptual architecture for a new multi-purpose building and concession building. So this is the second required public hearing that all new planned area developments require. There's two public hearings before the Planning and Zoning Commission. The first public hearing for this case was held on December 6th of last year, and no action was taken at that meeting. Because we have some new folks attending tonight, either in person or online, I'm going to go through a similar presentation as last time, just hitting the key components of the request, and I will close by offering a staff recommendation to the commission. So there are key components of staff review for this request, and that includes reviewing for compliance with federal and state law, as well as compliance with the general plan and the town zoning code. So this is the second required public hearing. This case is presented tonight for discussion and possible action in the form of recommendation to town council. Just a reminder to commission, and because there's two items on the agenda tonight, there will be two separate motions. So again, the first public hearing for this case was held on December 6th. There were some key topics of discussion are shown on this slide. The second two I'll talk about a little bit more later in my presentation. But the first has to do with the use of the proposed facilities and if they would be available to outside organizations outside of the Church of the Nazarene. So everyday uses may include, you know, after school activities, church or sports league activities, just day-to-day activities. OVCN may also host tournaments of various types at the facilities. And as indicated in the planned area development, the facilities may be used by outside organizations at the discretion of the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. So the applicant is proposing to rezone to planned area development. The site plan for that's associated with the rezoning is shown on the right-hand side of the slide. So the kind of moving from maybe the northern top part of the image, so the applicant's proposing a 100,000 square foot athletic field with 8 field lights, 4 on each side of the field, which are shown with those yellow circles. They're approximately 70, or they will be 70 feet tall, and again, there will be 8 total. The applicant is also proposing sound amplification on the athletic field for church services as well as sports league events. An 8-foot sound and screen wall is located to the north and to the west of the property, adjacent to residential properties. There's also a proposed condition of approval that the athletic field be 100 feet away from adjacent residential properties. The site plan also includes parking and access to Kai Concordia with the second phase of development. A multi-purpose building is also proposed on the site that's approximately 75,000 square feet and 42 feet tall. It includes 4 indoor sports courts, a performance stage, and multi-use area, and there are classrooms at the southern edge of the building. An outdoor amphitheater is located between the athletic field and multi-purpose building, and a new administrative office is proposed where the existing church is located. So the existing zoning does not allow for not-for-profit recreational buildings and facilities outright. So this requires a conditional use permit in R1-144 zoning, and that use is not permitted in Church of the Latter-day Saints planned area development or PS zoning. So in order to allow for the proposed development, the applicant does need a rezoning. So the existing zoning, you can see on the left-hand side of the slide, it's currently a mix. There's private school zoning, Church of the LDS, PAD zoning, as well as R1-144, large lot residential zoning. So the applicant is proposing to rezone the entire property to planned area development, which is shown on the right-hand side of the slide. A planned area development is essentially a unique zoning designation that is tailored to a specific site. The town actually has 19 planned area developments, the largest of which is the Rancho Vistoso, PAD. I do want to make it clear that religious institutions are permitted in all zoning districts. However, again, the applicant does need to rezone to accommodate for the recreational uses. So while PAD zoning is tailored to a specific site, underlying zoning districts are required based on existing zoning in the town's code. So the applicant is proposing to use R1-144 and PS as the underlying zoning districts. As part of any new PAD, the applicant can request modifications to these underlying zoning districts, which is shown on the left-hand side of the slide. The modifications are related to building height, screen wall location, and uses. The applicant is also, there's some additional standards that are associated with the PAD shown on the right-hand side of the slide related to parking, field lighting, and setbacks from the athletic field. So more information and more analysis is included in your packets. So the zoning code has specific criteria for all new planned area developments. And I'm just going to discuss a couple key ones during my presentation, but a more detailed analysis has been included in your packets. So the first criterion really has to do with the design and arrangement of elements to minimize adverse impacts to, I'll start with views. To views. So there are two key factors that are related to views. And the first is the arrangement of the multi-purpose building. So the site plan is shown on the center of this slide. So the multi-purpose building is situated kind of further south on the site, closer to Kai Concordia. It's also located between large, tall existing buildings, both at the on the church property and at CDO High School. The property or the multipurpose building may impact views from the neighbor to the west, shown with the star, but it is situated further south to minimize those view impacts. However, the number one view impact associated with the proposal is lighting. So the site plan on this slide, you'll see numbers on the athletic field. That's the location of each of the approximate location of each of the light poles, as well as property A, which is the property directly to the north, and property B, which is the property immediately west. The images on the far right-hand side of the slide, those are actually drones, which are flown at 70 feet at the vantage points from property A and property B of a few of those poles. So you can see that there will be a definite view impact from all properties that are depicted on this slide. Staff has worked with a lighting consultant, Hi Kaplan of Highlight Designs, regarding lighting stipulations, and he is joining us by Zoom tonight and is available for any technical questions. When evaluating view impacts, we did look at the possibility of perhaps lowering those lights. However, the trade-off of that is then you would need more lights to safely illuminate the field. So that's the trade-off. So because of that, there is a condition that these light poles cannot be more than 70 feet tall. So field lighting creates adverse impacts. However, extensive field lighting mitigation has been provided, which I'll cover in a little more detail later in my presentation. So this slide just shows the west elevation of the multi-purpose building. So this is the view that's facing the existing church and the neighbor to the west. So as you can see, there is a wide there's a wide range of building heights there. At its tallest, it's 42 feet, which you can see with the yellow line. It is important to vary roof lines, especially with a building this large, to break up the mass of that building. But over on the right side of the image, those are the classrooms, so they're between 18 and 26 feet tall. Those are closest to Concordia. On the left side of the image, that would be the portion of the building which would be visible to the neighbor to the west, and that's at 38 feet tall. So the next portion of this criterion has to do with limiting adverse impacts to natural water courses and existing desirable vegetation. This site does contain both core resource areas and critical resource areas, which are identified in the town's environmentally sensitive lands ordinance. The applicant is preserving 80% of the core resource areas and 95% of the critical resource areas as required by the zoning code. Depending on the underlying zoning, the applicant's also providing anywhere from 20 to 25% open space conservation as required by code. And the core resource area and critical resource areas and the encroachment are shown on the middle image. On the far right side of the slide shows the proposed and existing floodplain. The existing floodplain is shown with that black dashed line, and the proposed 100-year floodplain is shown with the blue. So the applicant is proposing to encroach into the existing floodplain and actually move the floodplain limits to the east. However, the main channel of the Carmack Wash, which is located at the edge of that floodplain, is being preserved. So as such, this proposal does meet the criterion for preserving existing desirable vegetation and environmentally sensitive areas. So the next criterion really has to do with compatibility with the surrounding area and protecting existing neighborhoods from disruptive development. So traffic has been a main topic of staff review, and town staff have thoroughly reviewed a traffic impact analysis that was submitted by the applicant to review for public safety and to ensure that the existing roadways have capacity for the increased traffic. Regarding public safety, the traffic impact analysis has been analyzed for average day-to-day traffic functionality and not for one-off or special events that may occur either at the church or at CDO or at James D. Craig Park. During phase two, a connection to Kai Concordia will be made and the road will be widened to accommodate a two-way left-hand turn lane, which will be re-reviewed by the town engineer for safety and for zoning code conformance. However, there are some conditions that staff is proposing, which are included in your packets, that have to do with traffic. So really the numbers that were presented in the traffic impact analysis and really the way that traffic works is that the activities on the OVCN campus cannot overlap. So what that means is that a big sports league event can't be going on at the multipurpose building or athletic field at the same time as a main church service, like on Sunday morning. So there is a condition that's been included, again, been included in your packets, which basically does not allow sports league events to conflict with both CDO arrival and dismissal times and main church services on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings. The second condition has to relate to relates to special events. So this condition stipulates that activities that generate more than 437 vehicle trips per hour require a special use permit to help ensure safety and to manage potential overlap with events at CDO High School and James D. Craig Park. So the intent of these conditions is really just to ensure that, the traffic numbers work, that the roadways aren't overwhelmed, and that there is sufficient capacity. Regarding compatibility, I do want to make it clear that the project will add traffic and traffic volume to the neighborhood, and that ongoing enforcement will be a challenge. And, you know, does require cooperation with the Church of the Nazarene, as well as town resources for enforcement. So even though this project, the TIA has demonstrated that the traffic does meet the town's requirements for public safety, it does not meet the threshold for compatibility, given the volume and the nature of the increased traffic. All right, so the next portion of compatibility, or the next part of compatibility, has to do with parking. So the zoning code requires sufficient parking to be provided on site for everyday activities. And so, however, the zoning code parking ratios do not perfectly reflect the proposed use that was submitted with the application. So we actually used ratios from the International Traffic Engineers, or ITE, and determined that at a minimum 553 parking spaces were needed to meet the everyday operations of the church. And the applicant is providing 756 parking spaces. A key component of so that is enough to meet the day-to-day needs of the church. However, a key component to ensuring that the parking works is that it's shared parking. So what that means is that when there is a Sunday morning church service, attendees can also park at the athletic field, so and vice versa, and share that parking. However, similar to the traffic, there will be a parking issue when activities overlap. So that condition that I mentioned earlier about the timing of activities, that also applies to parking. So a sports league event can't be going on at the same time as a main church service and vice versa. A special use permit is also required for any event that may potentially exceed the on-site parking. An ongoing issue with the surrounding area has been parking in the right-of-way associated with church events. So a proposed condition prohibits parking in the right-of-way abutting the church property. And again, I want to make it clear that these conditions, they do require long-term cooperation with the Church of the Nazarene and ongoing town enforcement. Regarding compatibility, the parking is compatible because it does provide sufficient on-site parking and the conditions address parking in the right-of-way. So another issue of compatibility is proximity to existing uses. So regarding the location of the multipurpose building, mentioned it a little bit earlier, but again, it is situated further south. The bulk of the building is between existing buildings at CDO and in the existing church. So given the overall design of the site, the building is situated appropriately to help mitigate views. However, again, the property immediately west may have some view impacts. And regarding the athletic field, on one hand, it is a natural continuation of the fields and the activity hub that's at CDO High School. However, it is very close to the home immediately north, only about 180 feet, which means that the light poles are only about 180 feet as well. So the fields at CDO High School do not have this proximity issue to residences. So that does create a compatibility issue. However, lighting creates another compatibility issue. So there are some targeted design stipulations. We worked with the applicant and the consultant on stipulations to mitigate the effects of the field lighting to the extent possible. So this includes hours of operation. There's a condition that the field lights must be shut off at 9 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, but they can be lit until 10 p.m. On Friday and Saturday. There's also stipulations to limit light trespass to adjacent residential properties and the color temperature to limit the blue light to adjacent properties and to area observatories. So I do want to make it clear that, you know, with working with the applicant for these standards and these mitigation measures, they are exceeding zoning code standards for lighting. However, given the proximity to neighbors and new lighting being provided in addition to the lighting that's already at CDO High School, the lighting impacts do not meet the threshold for compatibility. Portable speakers are proposed for the athletic activities and services. A noise impact study was submitted by the applicant. The applicants demonstrated that the amplified noise does comply with zoning code standards when the standards in the noise study are followed. And again, there are targeted design stipulations in the noise study, which includes the orientation and distance of the speakers from residential properties, as well as stipulations for the sound wall to the north and west. So even though the noise amplification does meet zoning code standards, it will still be impactful to neighbors. So again, given the proximity to neighbors and the and additional noise being provided in addition to the noise that's already happening at CDO High School, the noise impacts also do not meet the threshold for compatibility. So moving on to general plan conformance. So the property contains two land uses identified in the general plan. And these are public, semi-public, and rural low-density residential land uses. And these land uses do align with the proposed underlying zoning. So as with all rezonings, they're reviewed for conformance with the Your Voice, Our Future general plan. There are many applicable goals and policies, which more detailed analysis is included in your packets. But key goals and policies are shown on this slide. There's a couple in bold related to effective transitions between differing land uses, as well as limiting lighting impacts. For new planned area developments, there's also specific criteria related to the general plan and the zoning code, and the proposal must meet 80% of applicable criteria related to components such as land use, transportation, natural resource conservation, and community design. So the proposal does meet this requirement. However, overall, the request does not meet key goals and policies in the general plan related to compatibility. So there's been extensive public participation for the rezoning. There was an informational video posted online. Three neighborhood meetings were held, including a focus area meeting focused on getting feedback and consensus from surrounding neighbors. The key concerns are shown on this slide. Traffic, compatibility, noise, drainage, and lighting impacts were the key ones. And all letters received to date for this project, public comment letters, have been given to the commission. Now, I do want to make the commission aware that a protest from surrounding neighbors has been received, meeting state and local requirements. While this does not impact the commission's recommendation to town council, this project does require a favorable vote of 3/4 of council members to be approved when it's considered by town council. All right, so the second component of the applicant's request is for conceptual architecture for a multi-purpose building and concession building. So I kind of want to set the stage for the design of the buildings by showing this slide, which shows images of both the existing church and surrounding areas. So the multi-purpose building is essentially an expansion of the existing church facilities and is recreational in nature, similar to what we see at CDO High School. So all architecture applications are reviewed for compatibility with the surrounding area. And the proposed architecture that I will discuss in the following slides reflects the colors, materials, and design of buildings that we see in the surrounding area, particularly at CDO and the Church of the Nazarene. So this slide shows the north and west building elevation. So the west building elevation, that's where the main entrance is and what faces the existing church sanctuary and neighbors to the west. So the applicant has utilized varied roof lines, which is actually, I have a quote here from our design standards that is actually a code requirement to help break up the mass of that building. So you can see the variations of building heights on both elevations. The applicant has also provided a variety of colors and materials, including stucco, metal, and brick, and has varied the wall planes. So there is prefabricated metal used on this building, maybe more than what you might see in other buildings in town. However, given the recreational use of this building, that material is appropriate. All right, and this slide shows the south building elevation, which faces CHI Concordia, as well as the east building elevation, which faces CDO High School. So again, the Applicants utilized varied roof lines, varied wall planes, using architectural elements such as reverse tapered columns, stucco, metal, brick. Again, the classroom buildings, which are closest to CDO High School, are at between 24 and 26 feet tall. So in summary, the applicant's proposal has been reviewed for conformance with federal and state law, the zoning code criteria, and the general plan. The rezoning request does not meet the general plan and rezoning compatibility policies and criteria. However, federal and state law take precedence over local laws and regulations. So nonetheless, staff has worked extensively with the applicant to incorporate mitigation measures into the proposal. So given federal and state statutes and case law, staff recommends conditional approval of item A and approval of item B. So this concludes my presentation, and the applicant is also here tonight to present additional details about the proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Looks like we have the applicant, Mr. Paul Olin.
Thank you, Hannah. Good evening, commissioners. Thank you for your time this evening. I will not take much of it. I have my full presentation from last time, given the detail that Ms. Oden went through, and for the sake of time, I'll keep that for reference if necessary, but I'm not planning to go through it all again. It would be largely duplicative of what you just heard. But I would like to just make a couple of comments. Over the course of 6 submittals and to about 2 years, we've addressed and satisfied all of staff's questions and comments and concerns. That includes not only the PAD document and the mitigation found therein, but also the traffic report, lighting study, and acoustical study. Those studies were prepared by professionals in those industries. They've been reviewed by town staff, and we've achieved above, as Ms. Oden said, code compliance. The traffic is what it is on Calle Concordia. There are times of busyness on there and times of less busyness. That said, we'll be providing the necessary roadway improvements just like any other development. From an acoustical and lighting standpoint, staff did raise the bar quite a bit above typical code standards. For reference, the lighting study, the lighting requirements by Mr. High Kaplan, as was stated, those are actually based on a park down south of Tucson that was held up as I think it actually won some awards for compatibility and dark skies and things like that. That was the threshold, and I believe our standards were actually tuned up a little bit beyond that, and we've met those. So that said, I will actually our presentation tonight, like I said, it won't be lengthy, but we will bounce from person to person a little bit. So I'd like to bring Pastor Chris Collins up here just to say a few words. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Good evening. I'm Chris Collins. I serve as the executive pastor, Oral Valley Church of the Nazarene, and town staff and our site plan representative have already addressed the highlights of our project and the concessions that we've made, as well as all the mitigation efforts that we've put in place to address concerns from neighbors. The aim of my time this evening is to address some misconceptions and misunderstandings specifically related to the Concordia Buena Vista neighborhood group. 3 weeks ago, on Sunday morning, a homeowner began parking a golf cart on their property at the corner of Calle Concordia and Buena Vista. On that golf cart and along their fence near the entry and exit onto OVCN property to our west was a sign referencing a website, cvbgroup.info. The website's intent appears to be to share the perspective of homeowners in this neighborhood related to our proposed facility expansion and rezoning application. That website presents perspectives of homeowners in relationship to potential impacts our rezoning proposal might potentially have on the surrounding neighborhood. And the theme for those perspectives is that our mitigation measures and adjustments to our initial plan over 6 different submittals now and 2.5 years of discussion are not to be accepted under any circumstance. If that were all that was included in this website, it may have some merit. However, there's a great portion of this website that is aimed at slandering and mischaracterizing Pastor Craig and myself as leaders of this church. There's scripture referencing Matthew 6:24, famous passage explaining that you can't serve God and money at the same time. A representative of this group drove to our homes, took a picture of the front of our houses, and posted them on this website, along with what they believe we paid for them, attempting to make a clear connection that the purchase of our homes is the result of serving money and not God. You don't have to spend too much time on this website to discover the real intent is to bring into question mine and Pastor Craig's character, integrity, leadership, and motivation. There's also a veiled reference to Greek mythology and Damocles and the insinuation that some calamity is pending because of our rezoning requests to minister to our community. But a bizarre analogy and connection at best. As leaders of the church, our biggest concern isn't that a character assassination is being tempted on either one of us. We can handle that. Apparently, that's part of what God has called us to as part of this season in ministry and this life of the church. But our biggest concern is that by extension of this website's claims, the people who worship at OVCN and call OVCN their church home are having their character, integrity, and faith questioned and attacked. And every person that's proudly displaying a pink sign and pointing everyone to this website in opposition to our application for rezoning has apparently signed on to the tactic and strategy of this website to slander our leadership and question our integrity, to call into question our motivation and our passion at our church and our people. Pull their golf cart out every Sunday with a sign that says, go to this website, make reference to the real impact of what we're trying to do. So I thought for the sake of all involved, I just want to talk for a moment about the real impact of the people who call OVCN home on our neighborhood and our community. Because we're a church passionate about reaching our community with the message of Jesus Christ. And that happens in ways and at times other than Sunday morning. We regularly host the Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce. We provide a space to meet and to grow the connectivity and impact of the chamber in our community. We've hosted Town of Oro Valley candidate debates, town council meetings, and special hearings. We've hosted the Oro Valley Police Department, both for recognition and award ceremonies, graduations, retirement parties for a police chief, trainings and workshops for community awareness. We've hosted the FBI and the various Southern Arizona law enforcement task forces for trainings. We partner with the Golder Ranch Fire Department for graduations and award ceremonies as well. The town of Oro Valley utilizes our parking lot for overflow crowds for events at Cree Park. Amphitheater School District utilizes our parking every day to help with arrival and dismissal of students and for special overflow events like homecoming and graduation at CDO High School. We have a ministry to help families with special needs in our community find support and care as they try to navigate church life and get connected to a church family. We're committed to helping our deaf and ASL community, and we provide integrated access to our worship services and events, as well as online content designed for the deaf and hard of hearing. We have a ministry for single moms, and nearly 60 single moms, true heroes in our community, find help and encouragement and assistance to make life work as best they can. We deliver meals weekly to shut-ins and widows who need some help and encouragement and to have a visit with someone who cares about them. Last year, 340 of our people served on a missions trip in some meaningful way, including dozens who served locally on a week-long trip doing painting and landscaping at the Arizona School for the Deaf and Blind. During the Christmas season, our people donated more than 600 coats to the Gospel Rescue Mission for the homeless and the needy. And earlier in the year, our church purchased a $30,000 oven for the use of the Gospel Rescue Mission's Center of Opportunity so that they could continue to serve hundreds of meals a week to those in greatest need in our community. Our people sponsored this last Christmas 700 kids and teens this Christmas, 700 who are part of various organizations in and around Southern Arizona, foster kids, kids of single moms, kids in need, and homeless kids that are part of the organization Youth on Their Own. And our people provided much-needed gifts of clothing and personal items along with toys so that kids who would normally go forgotten felt loved and valued during the holidays, 700 of them. Our Snack Pack Ministry sends meals home every weekend for over 500 kids in Northwest Tucson who would otherwise go hungry all weekend until they could get back to their next school meal. right now, this week, happening right now at this moment, our church family, in partnership with the broader community, has turned OVCN into a meal packing facility for an organization called Feed My Starving Children, who sends meals to kids and families staring starvation in the face every day across the globe. And we are packing 1 million meals with 3,000 plus volunteers over 6 days at an expense of nearly $275,000 because our people want to make a difference. In the first 5 years of our sports ministry, we've registered more than 1,000 players. 75% of them are not part of OVCN, but are part of the Oro Valley community. And they found a program and a place where their kids can be challenged in their faith and in their character. Our church is reaching 3,000 people a week from cradle to grave via our Oro Valley campus, our satellite campus at Saddlebrook Ranch, and our online campus that actually has international implications, including an orphanage in India that our church has supported for over a decade, where those kids watch as a part of our online campus virtually every week. Thousands of people who live and work in the Oro Valley community consider OVCN to be their church home, and those people collectively are making a kingdom difference for the community that we minister in. And I have dozens more examples where I could brag on our people and the work that they do and the way that they serve for the hurting and the less fortunate, and the ways that they sacrificially give of their time, their talent, and their treasure to help people in the name of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel. And that is the real impact of OVCN on our community. As a shepherd leader of our flock, I can't allow anyone to cast aspersions on the character, integrity, and holiness of our people without challenging it. Last week, a local news station ran a story about this hearing and our overall rezoning request. And as part of that story, a member of the neighborhood group who opposes our efforts made a statement. In that statement, he said that all the members of the neighborhood group are for sports and for kids, that many of them are Christians themselves. And then he made this statement: "But this isn't about religion." And I realize that's where the disconnect has been, at least for me, as I've processed the situation that we're in. See, our church and our leadership challenges our people all the time based on the teachings of Jesus that we cannot separate our relationship with God or our Christianity or our religious pursuits from other areas of our life, because it's the Spirit of God that directs us. It's the spiritual part of our life that informs every area of our life. So we can't possibly compartmentalize our Christianity or our religion or the ways in which we worship, because it's our relationship with Christ that causes our movement and our actions and informs our heart. So whether you show up on Sunday morning or you pick up your kid in our parking lot after CDO dismissal, OVCN is going to be relentless in our efforts to minister to you and to honor the calling and responsibility that God has placed on our church in our community. Now, one very specific talking point that the CBV group likes to repeat is that nobody that attends OVCN lives in this neighborhood. As we've seen pink signs pop up in areas outside of the immediate neighborhood, including the roundabout near my home, 5 miles away, we thought it would be helpful to this committee to hear from some homeowners who will be directly affected by this project, but share a differing view than what you've heard from neighbors who continuously speak at town council meetings and voice opposition on social media and emails and phone calls. And they're going to step up and briefly offer some perspective at this time as part of our applicant presentation. I'm going to ask if Andrew Way will go first, because he's got a basketball game to get to if he's still here. Did he leave?
Actually, if you don't mind,
Britt's going to read. There we go. Okay, Britt.
Sorry, Mr. Way had to leave, so I'll be reading his speech for you. Any reference to my is in reference to him. So Mr. Way was a Oro Valley resident for 30 years, lived on Linda Vista for 24 years. They have horses, dogs, cats, ducks, which he thinks they sound like the sounds of the neighborhood. His first memory was the sounds of the neighborhood in 1999. And that was waking up to the CDO marching band practicing at 6 a.m., getting ready for their Friday night performance at the football game. Another memory in particular was sitting in his backyard on a Friday night, looking at the CDO football stadium lights, listening to the band, and hearing the play-by-play announcer talk about a kid named Kevin Schmike. He has never met Kevin Schmike, but on that night he was incredible. He kicked the ball, threw a pass, caught the pass, ran the ball. This kid did literally everything. He has long been a youth coach and a high school coach. He knows from personal experience the difficulties in trying to find availability for a practice field for young sports. In 2001, the enrollment at CDO was 3,100 students. Today is around 1,500. In 2001, CDO was the largest high school in southern Arizona and one of the largest in all of Arizona. If you are a longtime resident of this area, as he is, it is, I can't pronounce that word because I'm in 11th grade, to speak of unprecedented traffic because being caused by the little athletic field on the OVCN campus when there are half as many kids going to CDO every day. In his opinion, it is not a reasonable expectation to move across the street from or around the corner from any public institution and not expect changes and or growth. CDO started out as a 40-acre campus, which it is now 68 acres. To make a conscious decision to move so near such institutions and then complain about any growth-related issue is analogous to moving to the seventh fairway and complaining about golf balls in your yard. For Mr. Way, as long as he is around, he hopes to hear the laughter of little kids playing, their parents cheering them on, and the officials blowing their whistles, music to his ears. And then, if you don't mind, I'll read my own little speech.
Yes. Could you just make sure you just keep it specific on the issue on hand?
Yes, of course, sir. As I said, or I don't know if I said, but my name is Britton Johnston. I'm a neighbor of the church and also a member of the church. And I'd like to talk about the arguments against the rezoning of OVCN and explain in the most respectful manner possible why they should not impede this project. First, I'd like to address light trespass concerns. OVCN has worked extensively with the town to make lighting as unobtrusive as possible. In addition, lights are already being used in a far more obtrusive way at James Craig Park, the Aquatic Center, CDO, and Push Ridge Christian Academy. These schools lead me to my next contention, which is related to noise abatement. Schools are exempt from many of the stringent noise abatement laws that will apply to OVCN. Therefore, the assumption that the church will be as noisy or even noisier than these schools is false. On top of this, OVCN has worked with professional sound engineers to add a wall that will reduce sound reverberation and has exceeded requirements for noise abatement laws. OVCN has also worked with the town to address traffic by adding an extra lane to the road that is directly south of the church. I would like to mention as well that there are many neighbors of the church who do support this rezoning. However, these neighbors are afraid to speak due to the hostile nature that some of the opposing neighbors have shown. Lastly, I am a high school student, and sports are very important to my life. This facility would be an amazing addition to the community, and I support this project wholeheartedly. So thank you very much for your time, and I really encourage you to vote yes on this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Brooke Johnston. I'm an OVCN member and an OVCN neighbor. I want to talk about growth, concerns, and community. Growth, I live on Linda Vista, and thank you, and have the majority
of my
life. I'm
sorry, don't mean to interrupt, but make sure it's applicant-specific. Of course, we will open up to public hearing here shortly.
Okay, I was asked to speak as a member of the church, and so this is what I prepared. And so I live on Linda Vista and have the majority of my life. My family moved here in 1978, and my dad, an attorney, did some of the legal work for the town. There were dirt roads, and it wasn't that developed, but he saw great potential for growth, and we're proud of what Oro Valley has become with its schools, parks, shopping centers, and neighborhoods. The OVCN project is another positive area of growth. I love seeing the lights, hearing the sounds, because it's life. It's our community coming together for events that have a positive impact. Games, swim meets, graduations, these are families having special moments. It's not kids at home on phone, watching TV, or worse. Concerns. I understand that there's some that are against this project. I can completely respect that they have different opinions, but some, not all, of them have gone to an extreme of inappropriate comments, behavior, flat-out hatred, such that it's clouded their judgment. They have not taken the time to fully study and understand the accommodations the church has made, and their statements to the town are sometimes inaccurate and not fully informed. And I have to add, I wasn't going to do this, but the last time we were here, my son spoke, and it actually makes me a little emotional, and somebody was making fun of him as he spoke. And I'm proud of him that he's 16 and he'd be willing to stand in front of this council and speak. Also, just now when he was speaking, there were people shaking their heads and acting annoyed at the things that he was saying. And even if you have a difference of opinion, you can you should be respectful while other people speak, especially a 16-year-old coming up here and being willing to speak to this council. OVCN has gone above and beyond to meet the neighbors' concerns. It's interesting to me because these neighbors aren't comfortable with sound, noise, traffic. Then why did they move to a community that has high schools, a park, a fire department, all of which don't have the requirements that OVCN does? Lights, traffic, noise, views, they've all been addressed at great expense of time and money by OVCN. So I won't duplicate the town and the OVCN statements on these matters. But the OVCN facility will have a positive impact on our community. Sports programs have numerous benefits for our children. It reduces the risk of depression and anxiety. It's a great, obviously, for your physical health. Kids see what it feels like to be a winner or a gracious loser and who can learn from the experience to better themselves. It reduces their time on phones, TVs, risky behaviors like drugs and alcohol. There are many other benefits just beyond sports. Chris went over a lot of those, but this facility will allow for our community to come together for Feed My Starving Children, to reduce world hunger, more space to increase our school snack pack program that provides food for kids in our community with food insecurity at home. I really encourage you guys to vote yes on this project. OVCN has met the town requirements and in many instances has exceeded them. This facility will benefit our community and bring more joy to all of Oro Valley versus the perceived negative impact on a few neighbors. We should continue to grow and better our beautiful town, a town that I am very proud to be a part of. Thank you for your time.
Good evening, and thank you for your time. My name is Connor Hassman, and me and my family live in the neighborhood, 1 mile away from Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene, where we attend on a regular basis. Myself and my family have been in favor of this project since it was first announced. We know it will impact us. There could be an increase in traffic, light, and noise, but we also know the impact that it will have on our children and on the hundreds of kids and families directly in the Oro Valley community. We have two children under five and can't wait for the facility to be built because I know my kids will have a place where they can be involved in league sports here in Oro Valley. I look forward to when they will be able to go to this sports center that will encourage them to grow into well-rounded adults one day. But most importantly, it will be a place where they can learn about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through his death on a cross for each of us. Having grown up playing sports since I was six, I know that an opportunity like this, in a league like this, is very rare at best. My daughter was involved in the OVCN Flag Football League last year, and I can't say enough about the organization. To see her run around that field, being encouraged by her coach, peers, and other parents brought me so much joy. And to know that she was being taught about God, sportsmanship, and leadership each week was amazing. I hope and pray that this rezoning gets passed. The positive impact that this project will have on the Oro Valley community as a whole is undeniable. The fact that there will be more people and kids in this neighborhood only brings joy to my heart, and to know that they will be hearing about the Word of God and will be invited into a space that truly cares about every person that walks on the property is amazing. And so I really hope that you vote yes on this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Olin, let's wrap this up so we can go ahead and go to open public hearing, and then we will allow everyone to be able to speak.
So, Chair Harrington, if I may.
Mr. Olin.
So part of our presentation was to provide five perspectives from close by people in specific response to the statement that none of Oro Valley and Nazarene's people are in the area. So with all due respect, we would ask that we could have two more as part of our presentation. Then Pastor Craig's going to hop up here.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Janelle Cherry Holmes, and I've lived in Oro Valley for over 20 years. I've driven up and down Calle Concordia almost daily during those 20 years. I've lived in the neighborhood within a mile of the church for the last 5 years. I have attended the neighborhood meetings as well as the last planning and zoning meeting. I've heard the valid concerns that the neighbors have shared as well as the presentation by Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene addressing those concerns. As a neighbor, I'd like to talk about the traffic, the noise, and the lights, which are concerns. I've taken walks up and down Calle Concordia at all times of the day, along with my family and my grandchild. There hasn't been a time where I didn't feel safe doing so. I have had to enter Calle Concordia during the peak times when CDO is beginning and ending their day. I don't think I've had to wait more than 30 seconds to get in and out of any of the driveways along that route. I know that OVCN has been asked to not start or stop any of their activities at the peak hours, and they have agreed. I can hear the school bell from my home, as well as see the fireworks from CDO that are displayed a couple times a year, and I love it. In listening to the presentation from OVCN, they are actually adding an 8-foot wall around a portion of the perimeter of the outdoor field for a sound barrier, as well as making other adjustments to their original plan to address the valid concerns of the neighbors. Regarding the lighting, OVCN has agreed to higher quality and more expensive lighting features on the outdoor field to prevent light trespass onto neighbors' properties. This is above and beyond what the town of Oro Valley requires. The town has been satisfied with the outcomes of all of these concessions made to address the valid concerns of the neighbors. It has been a 2-year process with many changes made to the original project. I know there may be some inconvenience to my lifestyle, but it is totally worth it to me to see the kids have a safe place to come, learn a sport, find out about Jesus, and make decisions that will have a positive impact on their lives. As a neighbor living in the neighborhood by Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene, I fully support this project, and I would love to see the new sports ministry facility built in this neighborhood. Please vote yes for this project.
Good evening. My name's Chris Baird. I live very close to the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene, which I have been a member of for 16 years. I literally live probably 0.2 mile away. I can hear all of the noise from the school, and heck, even on Sundays, if I don't attend church, I can still kind of hear what's going on, so I'm pretty close. A lot of this has been covered, the lighting, the noise. I understand all that, and as I was on the first call originally when this was proposed, I sat back and thought, you know, this is, to me, initially sounds like a great idea. I mean, Arizona has just passed the, you know, law that says marijuana can be used for recreational use. And I thought maybe give them an alternative where they could go enjoy themselves and have some leadership to develop their character. And I'm not a sports guy, so it's not the sports for me. There was a couple of things sitting back after that call, watching the neighbors and the neighborhood talk, and how, like Chris Collins said, standing up here is really quite an awful thing that we call ourselves a neighborhood, and we use derogatory language and inferences that we understand the intent. And I can tell you that those two men over there that are the leadership of our church are great men. They have great hearts. They do a lot of good. Heck, I didn't even like church before I went there. And I, like I said, I'm not a sports person, so I can't give you all the wonderful things about sports in my life, but there is a couple of things I can tell you. One, I actually do agree with the neighbors that it will cause some negative impact in the neighborhood. I do not agree that it will be as much negative impact as they say. After sitting back, reading everything, talking to the church about the mitigation, which we've heard over and over again, and also the fact that in our culture today, the legal briefs against this, we're talking about how sports is not a church activity. Well, that is really a load of garbage, right? I mean, who on earth is allowed to say what a church activity is? You don't watch a sports movie that doesn't teach you about shaping a kid's character, not just their ability to play sports. You don't, when you watch the people who win the Super Bowl, both the athletes and the coaches, they all make some reference to God, most of them to Jesus Christ, that I watch when I do watch sports. At the end of the day, the reality is it is ministry first, shaping the character of kids by a great leadership team that has a great heart. And out of everybody that spoke, I'm not a neighboring property, but I'm very close, and I do support this, even though, like I said, I'm not really a big sports guy. But to me, a negative impact in my life is far less severe, and it pales in comparison to the positive impact that this project will have on so many, especially our youth today. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Michael Blaker, a 10-year resident of Vora Valley and current Rancho Verde property owner at 8830 North La Cañada, just a mile from the church. I'm here to speak as a father, local business owner, Air Force reservist, and an OVCN neighbor. As a neighbor, there have been ongoing concerns about the project for sure, and the lights and their impact on those closest to the church. Considering the 50-year-old JDK Park and the 60-year-old CDO High School utilize many decades-old lighting technology installed without attention paid to light trespass, my understanding is that OVCN has partnered with the town to make changes to install the latest in lighting technology and will invest approximately $250,000 in that technology to be a good neighbor and further mitigate light trespass and thus negative impact on the closest neighbors. I've seen the pink signs drawing attention to the property more than a mile away from the church, and at least one sign more than 6 miles away from the church at the corner of Moore and La Cañada. I assume the purpose of these signs is, in fact, a legitimate, valuable public statement by my neighbors expressing their concerns about this project and how it will negatively impact their lives, rather than just an effort to more widely advertise their resistance to this valuable community project. With homeowners as far as 6+ miles away from the church on the border of Marana and Oro Valley stating that they will be negatively impacted by the project. And since I live in relative close proximity to the church, then my concerns should be considered credible. When I compare the potential negative impacts of the project with the families and the children in our community whose lives will be positively impacted, I can't do anything but support it.
May I ask, before we start and move forward, may I ask you not clap for either side, just to be respectful for both parties.
Okay.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for your time. We believe that we have honored the town's request to go through this process of rezoning. We have done everything that you have asked us to do, and even in our differences, we've been kind and gracious. But this comes down to a land issue. We would like to build a conference center that has Sunday school classes. We would like to build a center for our youth ministry. It will have a capacity of 500 middle school and high school students to worship. The student center would also be used, an additional worship venue. And a sports center, and that's what gets most of the attention, but there's so much more to this. A sports center that would have a number of church activities that would include children's sports, where our coaches, our leagues, so that we would talk to kids about character and talk to kids about their relationship with Jesus Christ. There's also an activity field for that same purpose. We have honored the town's request to go through this process of rezoning, but at the end of the day, we are a church. And as a church, the federal government and the state of Arizona has given us land use rights. These rights have been in question, and so we've asked our attorney to come and just say just a few words about that.
Mr. Chairman and commissioners, thank you for your patience. There's a lot of thoughts. There are a lot of thoughts and feelings when it comes to these things, as you guys hear it and see it all the time. But from the very beginning, when we first began to meet with your council, and it's good to see you again, Mr. Andrews, your leaders, such as Mr. Baer, we made it very clear. Our position as a church in the law is strong. We weren't going to be a bully with it. We were going to comply as best we could with the processes that the town wanted to go through. And we've done that, as you have heard, and we have complied. But the bottom line is that we have to see what the law says. And I heard it from the presenter earlier with an understanding that state and federal law supersedes the zoning ordinances. But even in the zoning ordinances, we believe your own zoning ordinances allow for us to do the very thing we're trying to do. It's a matter of understanding what a religious institution is. Your definition of a religious institution is that it's a place or gathering or assembly with primary purpose of religious worship, which was not defined, including, this is important, in your own language, including but not limited to churches, synagogues, mosques, and temples. In other words, those things that people think about, well, okay, a church, that's where you go into the sanctuary and there's maybe some singing and there's some preaching and there's an offering plate and then you go home. No, your own zoning ordinance says that it includes those particular buildings, but it is not limited to those particular buildings. We provided in our submission to your council, we provided cites to cases from across the country where courts have decided that sports fields, baseball fields, gymnasiums, all of those are a part of church worship. Now, do you have to follow those other cases in other places? No. The point was to demonstrate that across our country, using sports facilities as part of your worship and part of your ministry is common. It is in the normal course, if you will. Therefore, you can't separate religious institution from multi-use facilities that have basketball courts and from a multi-use sporting field. It's all a religious institution. That is all that Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene is trying to do. And since it's part of their worship, it fits within the letter of the zoning court's definition of religious institution and is therefore a permitted use. The sincerity of this position is that the church is not the least bit interested in putting anything on their property where Christ is not glorified and worshiped, where God's word is not shared, and where the lives of the members don't validate the worship and the truth of the word by the way they live. If it's not going to include all of that, they don't want it. They came up with this as a ministry idea. It is all part of the church. The only religious institution here that we're talking about is Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene and its ministries. In this instance, it is against the law for the town to substitute its concept of worship for that of the church. Then we go to the federal law. The same analysis is in line with respect to the Religious Land Use Act. The federal law does supersede the zoning code, but it says that the religious land use law forbids zoning codes that unreasonably limit land use by religious assemblies, institutions, and structures. The law says that religious exercise, they define it, includes any exercise of religion, whether or not compelled by or central to a system of religious belief. What that means for us here tonight and going forward is that the town can't say, well, that's not religion the way I know it. That's not worship the way I know it. No, the federal law says it's any exercise of religion, whether it complies with something that you're familiar with or not. This is not an unusual thing that the Church of the Nazarene in Oro Valley is attempting to do. The law says that religious exercise applies to use of the land, use of the building, and it applies to the conversion of real property for the purpose of religious exercise. So not allowing religious institution to freely exercise their obedience to their directives in God's word would be a violation of federal law. In the state law is what gives the most clear guidance on this issue. And I assume that you've been made aware of it over the time. We were graciously provided a copy of a letter sent to this commission by the attorney for the group of concerned neighbors. We've provided you with a direct response to the assertions made in that letter. Every assertion, every argument made in the neighbor's counsel's letter is rendered without merit in light of state law. The problem is everything he cited to was before court cases, decisions made before 2010, when our state adopted the Free Exercise of Religion Act. And that Free Exercise of Religion Act has a specific provision that addresses land use. That's what this case is about. The state law says towns cannot impose zoning regulations in a manner that imposes an unreasonable burden on a church's exercise of religion. This is an important part. Regardless of a compelling governmental interest. It goes on to tell us, thankfully, what an unreasonable burden would be. Here's what it says. A town places an unreasonable burden on a church if the zoning code prevents the church from using its property in a manner that the church finds satisfactory to fulfill its religious mission. You see, it's the church that decides under state law whether or not its use is part of its church and its mission. And they've already shown you that. And you say, well, okay, Mr. Steele, so what? Are you saying that this commission is just set aside when dealing with a church? No. There is an exception. And here's what the exception says. The exception is when the exercise of religion at a particular location violates religion-neutral zoning standards enacted by the town in its zoning laws at the time of the application for permit. So now we got another question, don't we? What is a religion-neutral zoning standard? Thankfully, the state defined that also. Here's what they said. The term religion-neutral zoning standard means numerically definable standards such as much of what we've been talking about here tonight, maximum occupancy codes. Okay, height restrictions, setbacks, fire codes, parking place requirements, sewer capacity limitations, and traffic congestion limitations. What you've heard, what I heard from your staff, is that we're complying with all of the zoning regulations with respect to those things. So we've gone and taken all the steps necessary and beyond to comply with the zoning code in those areas. Everything that the neighborhood council cited as the other things that this should be called are not included in the exception. There is no exception to say we need to call it something else. There is no exception to say it's a separate facility from the church. There is no such exception. It is just the church. It is just that religious enterprise, if you will. It is people gathering as a congregation with the free exercise of their religion on their property, complying with the religion neutral standards that they spelled out for us. Interestingly, in saying what those religion neutral standards are, it said religion neutral zoning standards does not include synergy with uses that the town holds as more desirable or the ability to raise taxes, tax revenues. It doesn't include synergy with more desirable uses. Compatibility. The law says zoning codes cannot prevent a church from using their property in a manner that the church finds satisfactory to fulfill its religious mission. That's why we shared with your council early on in our that our position was the church's position is strong in the law. One of the statements of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 19 through 13, and I'm going to modify it a little bit. I'll tell you when I do. But it's kind of a mantra of the Church of the Nazarene. Full disclosure, I've been a Nazarene since I could crawl. And that's a lot of years. He said, "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a servant to everyone to win as many as possible." Now, here's my paraphrase in his next few verses. "To the basketball players, I've become like a coach, a referee, a scorekeeper, or as one just coming to support the work by cheering and interacting with visitors that I might win some. To the soccer players, I've become like a coach to teach and to train from the word, to share in the lives of the interested parents, and maybe even as a snack supplier, that I might win some. To the young parents with little children, I become as the experienced friend, parent, showing my wisdom from the Word of God, loving their kids, and cheering them on, that I might win some. To the single moms, I become a family, sharing in her burdens, and a group of fathers to help fill the gap, that I might win some." Back to Paul's actual words. "I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." This is essential to carry out the message that drives Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. The church is blessed to be in a country, a state, and a town that protects their freedom to carry out the mission God has given them. It is their calling to do exactly that by the word they share, which is validated by the lives they lead, even on an athletic field and a multi-purpose gymnasium. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you for that. Just a couple of housekeeping items here. Make sure that we silence any devices in the room if you already haven't. And please, either side, let's not clap to be respectful for both sides. In saying that, we're going to go ahead and move on to our public hearing. And I know we do have Mr. Don Cox on the line via Zoom. Mr. Don Cox, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we do. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the commission for this opportunity to speak to you this evening on this very important matter. I want to take a brief moment to let the commission members know, and those in the audience also, that I spent a little over 9 years on the Planning and Zoning Commission of Oral Valley. So I have a unique view of what is facing the commission tonight, and I don't envy your position. It is my opinion that the zoning change should be denied, and that should be your recommendation. There are multiple facts, I believe, supporting my opinion. I am not opposed to a sports ministry. I love to see kids participating in sports. I am 78 years old, and I still participate in senior softball. The thrill of victory is still alive and well, and the agony of defeat remains. Only now, the agony of defeat is magnified by aching muscles for a couple of days afterwards. I'm strongly opposed to the location and the inability to mitigate the negative impact on the neighborhood. The activities of the church currently invade the privacy of the surrounding residents. The current parking issues created by the overflow parking close to the church invades the privacy of those who are surrounding the church. When the church holds outdoor activities now, the decibel level leaving the church grounds invades the privacy of the surrounding neighborhood. And I suspect that if measured, it would violate the town's zoning codes. The addition of the competitive sports on a playing field that is mere yards from neighbor's backyard not only will invade their outdoor space, but it will invade the interior of their home. There are current residents who can hear the aforementioned activities inside their homes now. As of today, I don't believe the applicant has demonstrated that they have sufficient parking to support their requested activity, and the original lighting issues remain. The church argues that they can't utilize the current available town park space for their activities. They state that the availability just isn't there. I can't argue with that, especially softball fields that seniors can use. There isn't a single one in this community. That's an Oral Valley Town Council issue that hasn't been addressed for 4+ years now, and there's no foreseeable plans on the drawing board that we can afford to do. But the solution to that is not to punish the neighborhood surrounding, is to punish the neighborhoods surrounding the church. I thought a church would frown upon robbing St. Peter to pay for St. Paul. That's exactly what this plan's all about. This project, while well-intended, is simply not compatible with the surrounding area. The traffic and parking issues have not been addressed. The current noise violations will be multiplied, as will lighting issues. I have yet to see a condition that stops light intrusion or sound penetration successfully. So when it comes time to vote, I ask that this commission vote denial. Thank you for your service to this community. It is greatly appreciated by most people. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Cox. We will call three names at a time. If you are in the Hopi room, we will call you your name. If you're up on cue, if you could come over to the main council room. The first one up is Mr. David Diver. After that is Joanna Mickelson. And after that is Anthony Fiera. If you are on that list, could you go ahead and make your way to the council chambers?
My name is David Diver, and I'm a resident of Oro Valley. My wife and I live on Calle Concordia across from the Oro Valley Church of Nazarene. The house my wife and I own is part of what is referred to as Shadow Mountain Estates. It's zoned for 1-acre lots. Other homes in the neighborhood are part of the Linda Vista Citrus Tract, and those are 3.3-acre zoning. Our house was built in 1969, So it's been there for over 50 years. Other homes in the area have been there since 1969, 1970. The ones in the Linda Vista Citrus Tract, some of those have been there since 1934. Canyon Del Oro High School completed their first construction in 1988. The Oro Valley Church of Nazarene built their first building in 1986. Immediately upon purchase of that property that's up for rezoning, the church went in and destroyed the buildings that were there, took out copious amounts of vegetation. In other words, they seemed to have been assured they were going to do what they want to do. Over the years, the church has increasingly been a negative intrusion for the neighborhood residents with no positives. The church has contributed significantly to increased traffic, decreased levels of safety for pedestrians and vehicles, increased noise, increased light pollution, increased air pollution, decreased views for the neighbors, decreased wildlife, decreased vegetation, increased heat island effect, decreased tax revenues. In other words, the church's presence contributes significantly to decreasing the quality of life of the neighborhood residents. Has the church contributed anything positive to the neighborhood residents? No. The church leadership proposed they build a huge building, amphitheater, and outdoor sports field in addition to widening the street to accommodate the sports activities. This includes sponsoring events late in the evening. However, in 2021, both the senior pastor and executive pastor purchased homes in an exclusive million-dollar home community. According to the developer, it says this gated community displays luxury, beauty, and breathtaking landscape views of the magnificent high desert, with northern views of Tortolina and the eastern views of the Catalina Mountains. Offers a quiet life in a natural world with tons of local parks, shopping, colorful desert sunsets. Designed for outdoor space, ensure access to the most beautiful views of the Arizona desert landscape. What I say is it's not morally ethical right for them to destroy our neighborhood when they get to go home with all this open space and beautiful views and destroy ours. Thank you.
Joanna Michelson.
Hello, my name is Joanne Michelson. I'm a resident of Oro Valley. I live on Calle Buena Vista. I would like to address the Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as the Town Council, concerning the proposal of rezoning residential property located north of Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. This proposed rezoning that has been requested by the church would be a devastating impact to our home and our community of neighbors. Traffic, noise, lighting impact would be substantial. There is no greater way of proving this impact to us than having any one of you spend time on my street, Calle Buena Vista, to prove the impact we already endure due to the church's traffic throughout the week and the high school and the park system traffic. I invite any one of you to spend time in our neighborhood to witness this. Our home sits on the corner of Campobello at the roundabout. We have the traffic from every aspect of what occurs on Calle Concordia: church, school, aquatic center, and Oro Valley maintenance facility. Along with these entities, the normal activity of the neighborhood residents is on a continuous weekly travel system. The plan to purchase this residential property by the church was always about rezoning it. They have not for 1 minute planned on it being used for a residence and keeping our neighborhood community intact. No adjustments this proposed megastructure would change how greatly it would change this residential neighborhood and the tremendous strain on our already overloaded traffic on our neighborhood roads. I'm asking you to remember that how you vote on this can determine how many other entities like the church would consider coming into our neighborhood and changing the course of this place by buying up all the residential areas with intent on getting them rezoned through the Town Council and Rezoning Committee. Zoning is there to protect us, protect the value and the enjoyment of our properties by separating incompatible land use,
minimizing the potential impacts upon others. The impact of this proposed change is so apparently negative to all of us who live in this neighborhood and invested in our homes and our lives. Properties were purchased with a knowledge of how the surrounding areas were zoned in good faith. That is why, as citizens of the town of Oro Valley, we can depend on that. Please let us depend on you. Vote no on the rezoning.
Anthony Ferrara.
My name is Anthony Ferrara. I am a resident of Oro Valley. I'm directly adjacent to the property. My house is on that map. I think I've relayed recently about how I was watching Monday Night Football on November 28th while an activity was happening at the church, and I could hear it in my house. It is already affecting the enjoyment of my house. And with, again, to be candid, 70-foot lights in my backyard, it's just going to become unacceptable. That is higher than the Disneyland castle. I'm a broken record. I've repeated that a bunch of times. The property that they bought was residential. It should remain residential. If that's the underlying zoning code, then that zoning code should be adhered to. I bought a property that's residential, R144, and I had to adhere to those. If I wanted to put a football field and 70-foot lights on my field, I can't imagine that you would have said yes from allowing me to do it. But it's no different. Other than, I guess, their argument is that the lights are somehow a religious activity that needs a special exemption. Because if I wanted to do it, I can't imagine that it would be approved. So I urge you to make them adhere to the underlying zoning, which is residential. I should have the reasonable expectation that I should be able to enjoy my home the way it is, and the views as they existed, and just again, this project would do permanent and irreparable harm to the neighborhood, and directly myself and my neighbors to the north as well. It would absolutely destroy our property values and the enjoyment of our homes. Thank you.
Next, we have Jane Porter, Mike Garten after that, and Ann Young. So if you could come up in that order, it would be great. Jane Porter, Mike Garten, and Ann Young. If you're in the Hopi room and need to make your way this way, and make sure you know that there's a
green. My name is Jane Porter, and I am a resident of Oro Valley and a member of OVCN. I have lived in Tucson and Oro Valley my entire life. I have owned property all over the Tucson Valley, and my main concern was always for my safety, for myself, and for my family. It was not the growth of the city around me, but of the character of the individuals who would surround me. I wish to make two comments regarding the rezoning request by OVCN. First, I understand the concerns of the neighbors regarding traffic, lights, noise. These issues are inevitable due to the growth of the Tucson Valley. Holding up rezoning requests for OVCN will not stop the growth in and around Oro Valley. I would rather have a Christian-run family life center next to me than anything else, even raw land. The lives of the young people attending our youth and sports programs are now changed for the better, as has been addressed in prior town hall meetings here. Again, the growth of our town is inevitable, but this project could provide young lives with character-building skills that will lead to strong, law-abiding citizens. Next, I have a safety concern for my pastors and their families. I have not discussed this issue with my pastors. Within the past several weeks, a multitude of extremely bright pink signs have appeared up and down Calle Concordia and Buena Vista, which is a visual traffic distraction in and of itself. Now, these signs are appearing on La Conada, north of Calle Concordia. This sign directs people to the website group cbvgroup.info. My questions are here. Was a permit obtained for these signs? According to Oral Valley Zoning Code, Chapter 28 on signs, temporary signs need to be permitted and approved by the Oral Valley Planning and Zoning. If a permit was granted for these signs, was the Planning and Zoning aware of the website that the signs would direct people to explore? And if the Planning and Zoning was aware of the website intent, were they aware of the contents of the website? To be specific, the website states the location and pictures of Pastor Craig and Pastor Chris's houses. I understand freedom of speech, but it appears that there are elements of violations of both ARS 132921 harassment and ARS 132923 stalking in regard to this website. The pink signs are like breadcrumbs leading up to La Canada to the pastor's homes. I'm sure I don't know how the pastors feel about this, but I know I would feel my safety was violated as well as my family. Thank you.
Thank you. I must ask that we make sure we are very respectful of the speakers and give them time to speak and be respectful when they speak. Thank you. Next up is Mike Garden. Then after that, we have Ann Young.
Good evening. I think you got my name wrong. I'm Mike Cadden, C-A-D-D-E-N.
I apologize for that.
That's my handwriting. That's what I'm so famous for. Anyway, I'm a man of few words, but I'm contacting the council to express my opinion regarding the OVCN rezoning application. My wife Carla and I live at 9575 North Calle, El Milagro. We've lived in this house since 2003. And enjoyed the rural nature of our neighborhood. We strongly oppose the rezoning as it will bring radical negative changes to the serenity of our neighborhood. This area was meant to provide a rural lifestyle, and current zoning reflects that. Many owners in our neighborhood purchased our homes because of that fact. The rezoning is not justified as it will bring commercial entity into an area where commercial activities were not intended. So I request that the board council carry out the zoning requirements as they usually do in Oro Valley. So, thank you.
Thank you for that.
Good evening. Thank you for having us tonight. My name is Ann Young. I live in Oro Valley, the town of Oro Valley. In fact, my house is that yellow star that's on your map, on one of the other maps. Well, I'm here again to plead our case against the rezone for the Church of the Nazarene. I have nothing against the church. It does a great service to many, many people, and I've always applauded them for that. Haven't objected to their two new great buildings they built since the original building, which I was a member at the time, and was fit in our neighborhood very nicely. It was one story, and was very unobtrusive. So none of us, I don't think anybody in the neighborhood has objected to the church, even though it's grown tremendously since it first started. This new building will literally be in my backyard. We'll be listening to if you've ever been around construction, which I have been for the last 10 years since Oro Valley's been building, the beep, beep, beep of the construction trucks going on at dawn, wakes me up in the morning, go to bed at night with the beep, beep, beep. We have had to listen to them in the past for months on end as they constructed the two new church additions that now exist. This new phase will be three times as large as the other two buildings they built. It will be like having a four-story apartment complex built next door to me. This is an area where 3.3-acre home sites are the norm, and that's what we're zoned for. Unfortunately, I will probably spend the last of my few years of my life, since I'm 87, living next door to a sports complex that will, as predicted, be a very busy and constant source of noise and traffic. All of us in the neighborhood would like for you members of the zoning committee, and the mayor and the council, not to be personal, but to put yourself in our shoes and ask if you would like this to happen next door to you. I really think not. My daughter and I lived through the total destruction of the ranch, the 10-acre ranch, that belonged to the Tejas family. As soon as they bought it, is my time up?
Yes, ma'am.
Do I get to talk as long as those other guys did? May I speak a little longer? Thank you, appreciate it. I'm sorry. They bulldozed immediately the whole 10 acres, bulldozed it down. Then they let the law enforcement people come in and bomb the buildings. Anyway, to make a long story short, my daughter came down with valley fever. She's 60 years old, lived in Arizona all her life, never had valley fever before. She's quite ill, almost to be disabled now. I don't know if that caused it. Who knows? None of us know where valley fever starts. But anyway, needless to say, I'm here to say please, please, please don't make my life miserable by voting for this rezone. Thank you.
Next we have Tim Tarras, Vicky Tarras, and right behind that will be Darlene Becken.
Thank you, commissioners, for taking time to listen to us tonight. My name is Tim Tarras. I'm a resident of Oro Valley. One thing I'd like to say from the get-go, the neighborhood, the neighbors, we actually do support the church and everything they stand for. Many of us are churchgoers ourselves. And sports and religion and all those things go together. There is no inclination whatsoever to be against that. What we're concerned about is what will happen to our property, the obvious discussions that were up there, traffic lighting and so on, et cetera, speaks for themselves. I think it's important to note in conjunction with that we're approaching a year now of coming to council to speak, town council. And the members, these people you see to the left of me here, many of them have come again and again because they are the neighbors. And as a reference point, our offset from the church is from 0 to 80 feet, not even 0.2 miles or farther. So it's obviously going to affect us quite a bit. The neighborhood is filled with longtime residents, many of whom have lived in their homes longer than the church has been at this location. Many are churchgoers themselves, me included, but just other faiths, that's all. So I ask you, where are you going to be in 2, 5, 10, or 20 years? If we, the current residents, are still alive, we plan on being in our homes that we're currently in. This commission, the town council, and the town officials will be different people. The decision you make will impact us for the rest of our lives. Please make this decision as if your life depended on it, because ours do. Destruction of the neighborhood is not required for this facility. We support the initiative. It just needs to be in another location. Thank you very much.
Vicky Tarras.
Hi, my name is Vicky Tarras, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. In fact, I live right across the street from the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene to the west. Their proposal for rezone states, compatibility with the neighbors will remain a focus, page 10 of their submittal. I shudder to think what they would be asking for if they weren't trying for compatibility with the neighbors. They originally asked for a 53-foot-high enclosed football arena. When the town told them they wouldn't approve anything over 36 feet, they changed their plans to open fields with 70-foot lights and sound amplification. They claimed this revision was made in deference to the neighbors, but it was only done after the town restrictions. Of the 14 neighbors whose property lines touch OVCN, we have all filed a written objection to the rezone, which has been filed with the town clerk. Only one family of those 14 neighbors has spoken to OVCN, and that was done 2.5 years ago at the beginning of this saga. The family is the one who initiated the meeting, and they came away absolutely horrified at the scope of the project. OVCN claims that they are working with the neighbors, and yet none of the other 14 neighbors have been contacted. A lot of our neighbors are church-going people, and we commend OVCN for trying to spread the word of God through a sports ministry. However, in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39, it states, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second one is like it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." I don't think that willfully harming this neighborhood is loving thy neighbor. At least none of us feel like it is. Thank you.
Next up, we have Darlene Bickin. Next up, Julie Young, Janae Nunez, and Robert Dietrich.
Good evening. I wasn't planning on speaking today. Julie Young had to leave. She became ill. So I'm Denise, maiden name Zernheld. I was a neighbor of the Youngs. Born and raised in Oro Valley. I've lived here all my life. I went to Donaldson, Harrelson, CDO. I went to high school with Kathy and Kevin Cree. I was there when they were building the Dennis Weaver pool. I've been at CDO before they even had the big fence around it. I used to ride my bike around the school. The church property was my old stomping ground with all the boys in the neighborhood. I've seen a lot of growth, and I could tell you this right now. I also attend in Oro Valley Church in the Nazarene. The Youngs used to take me to the church when I was a kid. And I subsequently attended the church from like 1979 to about 1985. I was married in the church in 1985. I have no beef with the church. I could tell you right now that they have great opportunities, but not on that land. That's all I have to say. But Julie wanted me to say this. Integrity, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. We ask that the Zoning Commission vote with integrity. Thank you.
Hi. My name is Janie Nunez. I am a Tucson native. More specifically, I've lived in the Oro Valley neighborhood connected with the church for over 20 years. I live a stone's throw away from there, within a block. And I am a member of the church, but not for 20 years. I've been a member for about 5 years. And if I had been exposed to it sooner, I wish I could have been a member sooner, because the church has been a wonderful asset for us. Is very welcoming. They do so much for the community that I wish I had joined sooner. And while the descriptions refer to the sports and recreation,
there are buildings that are going to be used for other purposes for the ministry and worship services, and I think it's important to keep that in mind. But my interest, of course, is in sports. I happen to have lettered in tennis in high school, so I know how important it is for kids to learn how to communicate, how to become leaders, how to work as a team member. It's those skills that they learn that carry them through life and through their business. I went to school at Pueblo, and if it hadn't been for sports, I might never have gone to college. No, I forget that. My mother was never if, it was always when. You know, you program your kids by the language that you use. That's very important. I realize that traffic is a major concern for many. I would love to get rid of the high school because crossing Calle Buena Vista and Calle Concordia can take me about 10 minutes when the school is starting or ending. So traffic, I understand, is an issue, but I never expected a traffic light at Linda Vista and Oracle either. I also didn't expect to have fireworks, and I never know when those fireworks are going to occur. All of a sudden, it's only when the dogs get excited that I knew that something was going to happen. But, well, there are changes all over the town. Only those of us who are native can really understand what a difference it is, or if you've been in your own community, how things change when developers come in and modify the landscape. We've lost many of our dairy farms and our ranchers and farmers. But the most important consideration is for the young men and women for whom this project is being proposed. So planning and zoning members of town council have a tough job. I encourage you to remember that your decision should be made with a weather eye to the greater good of the Oro Valley community and our young people who are spread throughout the community. Thank you.
Robert Deere.
My name is Robert Dreyer. I'm not a resident of Oro Valley, but my son, who also attends Oro Valley Church in Nazarene, is, as well as his family. My daughter-in-law graduated from CDO, and I know that the church has had a positive experience with the sports ministry for several years, and would like to use this additional facility as an additional tool to extend that work. A lot of tremendous work has been conducted and is ongoing now, and we do want to be good neighbors. We've tried to make concessions, and I understand that you don't feel like that has been well received. But we have done our part in trying to go our extra mile, and we'd urge you to approve this rezoning project that we could have a further positive impact on this Oro Valley community. Thank you.
Next up, we have Elizabeth Robb, Janae Hayward, and Cheryl Harthoth. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. Go ahead.
My name is Elizabeth Robb, and I'm a resident of Oro Valley. It was mentioned in the church presentation that if you live near a high school, you should buy a high school, you should expect development. Well, 24 years ago, I brought property across the street from a little small church that was shaded by the blocked by the trees, fit all the cars in their parking lot, and all of the other lots are developed. It's a fully developed neighborhood. No idea, 24 years later, I'd be living next door to a megachurch that's trying to put in a commercial-level sports facility. Mind blown. sports are great. Sports are wonderful. Sports facilities are wonderful. Does great things for the kids, even if it's a religious one. It's fabulous. However, does it need to be at the cost of a historic, low-density, rural residential neighborhood? Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jeannie Hayward. I'm the business manager at Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene, and I have been part of this project from day one. I've been involved, and I'd just like to take a couple of minutes to express my thoughts on the project. As you've heard tonight, we have worked hard with staff, with the town, to mitigate many aspects of our project, including traffic, lighting, sound, location of the field, all to the town staff satisfaction. That alone tonight should prompt a yes vote. But I also want to talk about another aspect of the project, and it's been mentioned before, and that's the aspect of a worship venue. About 5 years ago when we began our OVCN sports, just like any other ministry, we wanted to reach out into the community and help families and their children get to know Jesus. We believe athletics are a unique vehicle for evangelical community outreach because it creates relationships between coaches, teammates, and provides a wonderful opportunity for character development. OVCN Sports has already brought many positive changes to families in our community, and we see families attending our church because of the impact we've had on their children's lives. Our ministries all have the same vision to lead people to a life in Christ. When we look at the project, we see that the building and the field are simply worship venues. They will be used by all of our ministries in some fashion. We see our 55-plus men and women volunteering as coaches and refs and volunteers to invest in the lives of kids and their parents who attend OVCN Sports. Yes, we put an emphasis on OVCN Sports for this project, but please understand the following. The championship court will be used on Wednesday nights as a sanctuary, a place of worship for our youth. When we look at the classrooms, we see breakout sessions for our youth to meet and talk about their life in Christ Church. We may use these classrooms down the road for grief share, divorce care, or any other kind of many other opportunities. So we consider the field and the building to be the same as our sanctuary, our newest children's wing, and all of the buildings on our campus. It is church. So I urge you to vote yes on this project, as you are simply voting for the expansion of a church. Nothing more, nothing less. Thank you.
Next, Cheryl Harbath.
Good evening, Cheryl Horvath. My bad on the handwriting. I'm a resident of Oro Valley, also a member of Oro Valley Park and Rec Advisory Board and recent graduate of the Citizens Academy. Very proud of that. My wife and I live on Shadow Place. We're about a half mile south of Oro Valley Church of Nazarene. I've attended a couple of the informational meetings. I'm also a public servant, having served over 30 years as a firefighter, including 6 years as fire chief. I'm including this information only to portray my background and the difficulty involved with having to make decisions in the best interest of the public, despite competing opinions and interests. I don't envy your task before you, and I appreciate your patience tonight. My desire with this letter is to convey opposition to the rezoning and compassion for the adjacent homeowners and neighborhoods. In fact, when I first heard Ann Young speak, that's what prompted me to write the letter. Understanding that all property owners have a right to develop their property to include rezoning, I feel the OVCN request is unreasonable. While our property is located on a secondary street to the church traffic, I'm not sure our property value will be adversely affected due to living on a cul-de-sac. I do believe the area directly adjacent to the rezoning will be impacted significantly and not in a good way. This is not Oracle Road we're talking about. This is one of the oldest neighborhoods in Oro Valley. This is a neighborhood with families and with horse farms. When the high school and adjacent park are not lit up, the area almost qualifies for dark sky status. To say that the additional lighting will not be disturbing to the surrounding area is simply not true. To say that the additional noise from church activities will not bother the surrounding neighbors is also not true. We could hear the recent tree lighting ceremony from a half a mile away that was inside our home. I've never heard the band or the swim meets or anybody else from inside our home. I understand the church desires to expand their ministry to include more youth programming. I have friends who attend the church and neighbors. I played in church leagues as a kid, so I get it. I also know that you do not have to have all the amenities proposed by OVCN, nor do you have to have lighted fields to provide a quality sport experience for a young child and a safe space to play. It is the responsibility of the church to present an improvement plan that helps them meet their expanded mission while being sensitive to the neighbors. Remember, this is not Oracle Road. This is one of the oldest neighborhoods in Oro Valley, established long before the church moved into the area. Someone recently wrote "Jesus loves you" on some of the signs posted in the area. These signs were posted by concerned neighbors trying to bring light to this issue. I don't mean to sound snarky, but does OVCN love thy neighbor? Pastor, I've been a public official for a long time. I've been slandered. Actually had somebody plant marijuana on my personal vehicle in the hopes I'd be arrested and fired as fire chief. So I understand what it feels to be attacked, and I apologize for that. But I think the reality is that the neighbors are doing what they can. This is the only option at this point. OVCN has other options, and I encourage you to vote no for the rezoning. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Devin Smith, Wilbur Taylor, and Cheryl Lamon.
Good evening. My name is Devin Smith, and my family live in Oro Valley, and we have a house on Calle Almagro. We feel strongly about the implications of this project, and we are adamantly opposed to the rezone. We and the neighbors around us have always welcomed Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene as a positive and attractive part of the community, a neighborhood church in a neighborhood. The word reasonable was used when talking about land use. The church's new plan for rezone and expansion far exceeds what is reasonable for our quiet, beautiful neighborhood. No one is discrediting the church's mission and all the good and helpful work they have done. We feel they should be able to meet all the goals they see for the future of their church, but our rural, historic, agriculturally zoned neighborhood is just not the place for what they want. We respect their vision, but the size of the project is incompatible with our neighborhood and its surroundings. Regardless of studies that were conducted and mitigation that has transpired, the threshold for compatibility has not been met in almost every area, incompatible with the neighborhood. The council must realize the negative impact this will have. The construction would cause disturbance on a largely quiet street. Having construction vehicles and equipment at constant work will impact all the neighbors and the horse and animal properties nearby. There will be a great deal of disruption to native animals and vegetation. And my biggest concern since this project has started has been traffic. Our streets are not conducive for the amount of traffic a church this size would generate, and as with any trafficked area, speed and safety would be a problem. So many families in our community enjoy walking through our neighborhood. I'm a mother of two young children who always want to be outside, riding and walking, and I'm highly concerned with the additional burden of cars and traffic this would create on our streets. CDO High School, OVCN as it is now, and the Aquatic Center already puts traffic in this area at its limit, and a huge church on the same street would put traffic over the top for a community almost entirely composed of single-family homes and horse properties. The noise is a huge concern as the church plans to use its property each and every day and night of the week. The sounds of nature and quiet would be overshadowed, and neighbors will be hard-pressed to find peace and relaxation on their own properties. Noise carries in our neighborhood, and the increased amplified noise from the church will create a constant disturbance to our daily lives. The property values would be impacted, and the size and scope of this project is at odds with every part of our neighborhood. These considerations are vital to the ongoing health and prosperity of our community, and we thank you for taking the time to carefully and thoughtfully research the implications of such a zoning change in our community. Our neighborhood is a beautiful treasure of a place, and we need to protect and preserve that for the people who live there now and for all the people who will live there in the future. Thank you.
Wilbur Taylor.
Hi, my name is Wilbur Taylor. Thank you guys all for being here at this late meeting. And I'd just like to say that my wife and I have lived on our property right across the street from the church for 30 years. And we've been through all of the ups and downs of the high school when they had the freshman campus that was at the back of the school, the street when it was much narrower. We've raised three kids on that property. The oldest one played in the band, probably the band that the other person was talking about hearing in the early morning because they worked those kids to death. She went to the U of A after she got done with CDO and played trombone for the Pride of Arizona, the marching band that plays at the football game. So we always thought that was pretty cool. Our youngest son, he's an electrical engineer. He went to CDO. He went to Sonoran Science Academy. He went to college in New Mexico. He holds a professional engineering registration in electrical and in control systems. So we think that's pretty cool. Neither one of them ever did drugs. Neither one of them have ever drank anything. We were involved with Boy Scouts of America. I was on the board of directors for about 20 years. My wife and I were both awarded many years ago the distinguished, the Silver Beaver Award, which is for distinguished service to the youth of the community. So we think that's a pretty cool thing. So we've done our extra effort to help out with children in our community. Our life is going to be different. It's already different. We've lived there since this church was very small. The church never came and talked to us about this expansion. Not that they had to, but they didn't. But they would like to say that they did. The only interaction we had was when we came to meetings or had meetings on Zoom. And I would just like to urge you to vote no. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Cheryl Lamana. I'm a 17-year resident of Oro Valley. I'm not a member of the church. I'm not a member of the CBV community, nor do I know any of the people that live there. But like the CBV residents, I too moved here for the small-town peaceful lifestyle with the beautiful mountain views, and I've watched these residents share their concerns for the past 10 months because of what a large sports complex would do to their community. I've never heard them say anything if they would have just built some of the other buildings. It's the sports complex that's the issue. I've also heard the church's views, and as a Christian, I understand what it's like to serve kids. I do that at my church. But I have been astonished at their utter disregard for the neighbors. But that's not why I'm here tonight. This is a zoning issue, and I have some questions and comments that are related to the documentation that supports the project. I know you can't answer me, but perhaps if there are a question in your mind too, you might be able to ask some of the questions yourself. So I'll start with the traffic impact study. It was prepared by a Tucson engineering firm. But if you look at page 3, you'll see a reference to FDOT level of service standards. FDOT is the Florida Department of Transportation. If you go to page 9, Florida Department of Transportation's generalized annual average daily volume for Florida's urbanized areas level of service table. So my first question is, why are we using Florida urbanized DOT standards when this is rural Arizona? Shouldn't we be using the Arizona DOT guidelines, which was what was done with the Oro Valley Town Center TIA? Moving on to page 14 and 15, the crash data is from 2014 to 2018. The population of Oro Valley in 2004 was only 39,875. Now we're over 47,000. So my second question is, why are we using stale data? It needs to be recalculated, but exclude the 2020 data because the school was closed for probably most of the year, and I don't think they had extracurricular activities for most of the year because of COVID. The noise impact study to me was incomprehensible. In terms of its application to conditions of approval, why do the conditions only apply to the noise amplification with the athletic field or the amphitheater when we already know that the noise from the worship practice and the events in the front of church, such as the Christmas tree lighting, present noise issues to the residents? And did any of the analyses that were conducted consider the sound drift during windy conditions? Now, switching over to comments on the vision statement under the general plan, that's a 2-page in the general plan itself. In terms of conformance analysis, yes, it does meet some of the requirements for the general plan. But the project does not provide all residents with opportunities for quality living. It's actually detrimental to the quality of life of the neighborhood residents.
nor does it provide recreational opportunities unless the parents are willing to pay $100 per child to enroll them in a sports program. It doesn't focus on community safety and safe streets. It doesn't preserve mountain views and the desert. It doesn't grow high-quality employment opportunities, and it doesn't keep our small-town neighborly feel. In fact, it's already promoted division. So in closing, I'm hoping that some of you might address these questions, explain also the temporary free speech zones that are in the town, and then vote to recommend denial because it doesn't really support the general plan, and that's the community document. Thank you.
Please don't cap. Next, we'll have up Scott R. Peterson, Doug Dalby, and Clint Pierre.
Hello, Council. Good evening. My name is Scott R. Peterson. I'm a resident of Oro Valley. Would like to communicate my support for the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene Sports Complex. I see the complex as a tremendous asset to the community. The complex will provide the community more recreation and fellowship space for our youth without a taxpayer burden. The complex will provide supervised sports activities for the youth of our community, replacing hours of video games and street roaming. What a fantastic complement to Oro Valley's park and recreation platform. Thank you for your time and your service to the community.
Doug Dalby.
Good evening. My name is Doug Dalby. I've lived in Oro Valley for 42 years, and just so you know who I am, since I've been in Oro Valley, I belong to church. I sent my children to a Christian school at the extra expense and time to do that. I understand the Great Commission, and I believe in it. This just happens to be the wrong location for it for a lot of different reasons. And I felt like I was being yelled at earlier today. But, you know, there's two sides to this thing. And, you know, Oro Valley, in my opinion, Church of Nazarene has been deceitful. And the presentations that we've had for the past three times, you know, they mentioned the neighborhood meetings that they've had with residents in the immediate neighborhood. My property touches their property, and I have never met personally with those folks. The only time I've ever met them or even talked to them is at the Oro Valley meetings. And not only, you know, deceitful, dishonest, you know, they've talked about parking arrangements with Amphi. You know, we've contacted Amphi. There is no parking arrangement with Amphi, and they have not been approached for parking arrangements. And if you talk about Christian values too, yet you're deceitful, dishonest, and rude. I think it's disrespectful to you. You've heard people talk about the lighting. You know, I understand the, you know, lights. They don't need to be that bright. You know, they've had car washes, and I live 1,000 feet away from there, and I could feel a bass sitting on my backyard reading. So, and another neighbor had to actually ask him to turn the music down because it was spooking her horses. So, you know, that being respectful of your neighbors is a Christian attribute as well. But some of the main issues, I think, is just the compatibility. It you've already stated in their presentation, they stated that they're not compatible. They haven't met the compatibility on lighting and noise. They haven't met the general plan. They're only 80% compliant. And I find that kind of interesting that if I obeyed the speed limit 80% of the time, would I not get a ticket for the 20% of the time? I think, you know, Oro Valley was founded in 1974 to preserve this area and stop the encroachment from Tucson. And I think this is definitely the definition of encroachment as Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. I think what they're doing is a great thing, but, you know, there's got to be some other place that they can do this. You know, a rural residential neighborhood like this is not the proper setting for a complex of this size. So thank you very much and appreciate your time.
Clint Pierre.
Good evening. Sorry about my handwriting, Mr. Chairman. It's Clint Peak. Commissioners, I've been an Oro Valley resident for 21 years. My wife and I moved here from Phoenix because we wanted to raise our children in this environment. So we moved here for the schools and the small town. We moved into what was not there at the time when we moved there, Tangerine Road. La Cañada is where La Cañada stopped at Tangerine Road. I understand the inconveniences sometimes. When we moved there, we were at the end of the road. Now there's 1,000 homes north of us. I have to sometimes leave my driveway like I'm getting on the freeway, but that's an inconvenience that I've learned to adjust to. We also opened a new school. It's kind of awkward to get through there sometimes, so I've adjusted it. So I fully understand the inconveniences sometimes, but that's called progress. Yesterday I was driving down Oracle Road, and I looked over at this project right here. And you know what I saw? I saw lights, lots of them. And I saw buildings, lots of them. It's like that was the master plan when 1974, when Oral Valley was created, to be the corridor where all youth and sports activities would take place. I would also encourage you, I've joined the Church of the Nazarene. I've been a Nazarene my whole life, but I joined this church 7 years ago. And I'm like one of the gentlemen that was up here earlier. I wish I'd have joined it when I first moved here. I wasted a little time. Right now, as we speak, there's hundreds of volunteers at the Oral Valley Church of the Nazarene campus packing meals for Feed My Starving Children. And by the completion of this week, we will have packed over 1 million meals to share with starving children and their families globally. And I would encourage any of you that might have extra time this week, there's still a few spots left, come on by. We could pack some meals. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Next up, we have Robin Rainwater, Joseph Wade, Karen Steinbrom. Robin Rainwater, Joseph Wade.
Good evening, Chairman and Commissioners. Take my mask off. I'm a
Now, if you'd move over to the microphone, we can't hear a darn thing you're saying.
How's that? I'm a scientist, so I still believe in masks. My name is Robin Rainwater, and my husband and I are residents of Oro Valley. My family and I have owned and lived in our home on Calle Buena Vista since 1959. When we moved, our subdivision, as someone else has already mentioned, was called Shadow Mountain Estates. It's bounded by Calle Concordia, Hardy, Oracle, and Calle Buena Vista. At that time, there was no CDO, so I had the privilege of riding from the roundabout on a bus to Amphi Junior High and High School. So you can imagine how long ago that was. When we moved here, this area was quiet, very, very dark. It would have qualified for the Dark Sky Initiative back then, but no more. We no longer need anything else to add to noise, to traffic, to congestion, anything that is going to impact our neighborhood more than it has already been impacted. I am totally opposed to this rezoning request, and I hope that you, as members of this commission, will vote no. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joseph Wade. I'm a resident of Oro Valley since January 2007. My spouse and I own a rental property in Northern Heights up in Austin Nicholas. And we reside in the Citrus Tracts of 93 Calle Milagro since 2012. We want our location to grow seasonal, local, and water-sustainable produce, as well as egg production. I'm not a farmer. I'm an engineer, so my perspective is different than my granola wife, aka my spouse. However, I agreed and moved to our farm. Our neighbors in Milagro have been wonderful in accepting our farm vision due to the R144 zoning and the life we wanted. A little bit about me. I was a poor kid from San Salvador. I owe my success to my mother. She took the risk to come to Phoenix in the 80s, found a sponsor, and I got an education, getting engineering degrees at U of A. I'm also a practicing member of the Catholic faith and help transport seniors to St. Thomas in the foothills each Sunday for Mass. This conflict with our neighborhood and church, Oro Valley has weighed heavy on my mind. I have been a field engineer for a construction company, understanding the length in construction to which our neighborhood will be subjected to if this rezone is approved. Witnessing their plans for expansion of the forest facilities, 75,000 square feet building, an outdoor amphitheater. I don't believe it fits our 144 agricultural zoning that's compelled us to move here. I have a question. My being a happy 144 resident, working as an engineer out in the field for construction, mines and urban ventures, how much of a precedent of this rezone for commercial property set should be approved? I am all for development, however, in the neighborhood, I don't. Oro Valley Code PAD 124A specifically states to protect existing neighbors from harmful encroachment by intrusive or disruptive development. This proposed development is intrusive and disruptive to the neighborhood and does not meet a code. I believe as a neutralized citizen, American law protection its citizens. If this rezone is approved with all others nearby, it will be granted commercial property zoning. Will other neighbors follow suit, or will property values plummet if the whole neighborhood can't recoup their property values lost due to being neighbors of a church with commercial zoning status that could be sold to the highest lucrative bidder, a Walmart, Target, Amazon, apartments? Please do not recommend this property to be rezoned to the PAD commercial development. Thank you.
Good evening, commissioners, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Karen Steinbrunn. I'm a resident of Oro Valley. I have two properties in the vicinity of the church. I bought these properties because I believed in hard zoning. We wanted an agricultural property with horses, a quiet property. And did I hear a zinger tonight? Hard zoning doesn't matter if there's some state rule that somebody wants to do something else. I didn't know that before, but I guess that's a lesson to be learned. I am a member of another church. I believe in church activities, but this is just too large, this mega sports complex, for the location, and I oppose the rezoning. Most of the things that are included in the Oro Valley Code for planned area development don't really apply here. They're more for subdivisions and other communities. But of those that do apply, and the main one is the fact that this will provide a harmful encroachment and is intrusive and disruptive to the neighborhood. And the mitigation that has been provided, an 8-foot wall, is not going to stop the noise from a 300-seat amphitheater or the stadium. That's just not going to mitigate the noise. The proposed development of this mega sports complex of 75,000 square feet activity building, a concession stand, and an amphitheater are really not usual and customary activities of a neighborhood church, and we all believed in the Oro Valley as a neighborhood church. This is a commercial type development, and in the future, if it gets rezoned, can the church decide to sell it for whatever commercial activity they want to whatever who pays the highest price and disband? We don't know what that'll be in the future. So I implore you to deny the approval. Thank you.
Next up, we have Morris Hicks, Mary Topmiller, and Timothy Fahon.
My name is Morris Hicks. I've lived in Tucson for about 55 years, and I've lived in Oro Valley for 40 years. I can remember all the changes that have occurred. I can remember when Ina Road was a two-lane highway, and where the presently where the Safeway was nothing but trees. And I say this because there are a lot of pluses and minuses that have been expressed here tonight. I think the bottom line, I think the positive to have it rezoned is stronger. But you can't stay status quo when the population is changes. When I moved to Tucson, it was 300,000 people. Now there have been a lot of changes. I used to go dove hunting up on the other side of Tangerine, and things have changed, and we can't stay status quo. Thank you.
Mary Topmiller.
My name is Mary Topmiller, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. I live on Calle Buena Vista. And in the interest of time tonight, I just want to say that my neighbors have all said all of the things that I wanted to express tonight, and I would urge you to please deny this rezoning request.
I'm Tim Fagan. Not quite the same as from Oliver Twist, but anyway. Mary's my wife. We've been here for over 30 years, and we were attracted by all the same things that everybody is attracted by, and it's pretty much everything has been said to you over and over and over, including in a letter that I sent to you. But I want to just clarify one thing, is that the attorney for the church is up here, and he's talking about churches and things, and, you know, then you have this, that, and the other thing. What he totally ignored was, is they don't have that, they don't have that zoning yet. They said, oh, we'll knock down the house and get it rezoned. But it hasn't been rezoned yet, and until it is rezoned, then they don't have the rights that he was talking about. So I strongly urge you not to approve this, and good night, and thank you.
Next we have Pamela Bird, Pamela Hausman, then Liam Depple.
Good evening. My name is Pamela Bird, and thank you for letting us take our time to express our views both ways. We've had the pleasure of being an Oro Valley resident for only 3 years. We came for the views, the rural lifestyle, and mainly our grandchildren. We followed them, my daughter down here, to be with our grandchildren. We've taken them across town to sports events, because there's no sports leagues that were down here for a five-year-old to play baseball. We've had the kids pick up syringes, needles, condoms. We've watched men urinate as the kids are these five-year-olds are playing baseball. We've had to go field after field after field to find a decent field. Each week it's a different one, not one any better than the other. We've been in a Boys and Girls Club where our windows have been broken into as the kids are inside playing basketball. We need a safe place for our children to play. But besides that, I want my children, my grandchildren, to learn the love of God. I want them to learn to respect property. I want them to learn to respect their bodies. I want them to learn to respect God in a way that some of these things that my grandson was exposed to at 5 years old is never even an option in their mind. This property is a opportunity to give them that option. The other thing I wanted to say is two places we have lived in, we were guaranteed we moved into that what we're around were rural properties, beautiful orchards, quiet as anything. We moved in, it was guaranteed to us, and through the city, nothing would be changed. In 3 years, it was a Target shopping center. It was noise, it was lights, it was chaos. The second property, it was a golf course, which was fine, but past the golf course was supposed to be rural desert. And in 5 years, it was completely houses, but not the type of houses maybe that are in Oro Valley that are more in the nice, quiet neighborhoods. So change happens. This at least is happening for a positive. It is not 24 hours a day. And we just ask for your consideration. And I thank you for considering both sides of the argument. Have a nice evening. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you. I am an Oro Valley resident. My name is Pam Hausman. And I've been here with my family since we found our little teeny house in a dream location, a quarter of a mile from the church, near my school that my children have gone to. And they attend, or they practice and swim at the Oro Valley Aquatic Center, walk to work because they're lifeguards there. They've been swimming there since 2007. In addition, I began teaching infant aquatic self-rescue lessons at the Aquatic Center before it became the Aquatic Center. So thank you for the beautiful pool that we now have. I teach besides the six-month-olds and up in the water. I'm also a school teacher. So clearly children are my people and my purpose. For the past 4 years, I've had the privilege of teaching at a PE at a Christian school in town, and I believe in athletic opportunities. I believe that children through sports learn determination, perseverance, work ethic, leadership, sportsmanship, life skills in general, character building traits, and it makes them better people to contribute to our society in a better way. Just this past Saturday, I had the privilege of watching many of my babies from my school play in their last basketball game at Coronado Middle School, which was a great experience to see them pray together, play together, and learn and grow together. I love that. Precious. What I don't love is the idea of moving into a small neighborhood, being a 501c3, and then costing the town more money by fighting against zoning. When we moved in, we wanted to make changes to our house, and we patiently waited and heard many times people say, oh, Oro Valley permitting. Oh, unfortunate for you. And now I look back, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that reputation that we have, that it's hard to pass things and rezone. I thank you for protecting our little town here. So thank you again for the time that you give us. I ask that you would protect, continue to protect our town. And to Oro Valley Nazarene, I love your mission. I believe in your mission. I believe that your hearts are in it. But I think that for the area that you're in, you've outgrown. And that your mission is strong and with purpose, but maybe not in this location. Thank you.
Liam Dippel.
Hi. My name is Devin Smith. Liam just had to leave, so I am going to read the letter that he wrote, if that's okay. He is a student at CDO High School in the area. Hello, members of the Planning and Zoning Commission. My name is Liam DeDepo. I am a 17-year-old student of CDO and a member of its student government. I am here to speak against the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene rezone. The traffic at CDO release is already a storm of new drivers and parents rushing to get their children home, where we see constant collisions on Kaya Concordia. Now imagine hundreds of more drivers coming onto Kaya Concordia. This will be a disaster. The church proposes a plan to navigate our schedule. As a student who does extracurricular after school and on weekends activities, I can tell you that these proposed workarounds will not stop the hazard. We have at least 100 students who stay after school for sports, clubs, events, etc. for hours after release. When I attend my club meeting on Sunday afternoons, it is already a struggle to get to the school when the church is in service. Our football games, which happen for at least 5 weeks across 2 months, were pretty good, so likely more games due to the playoffs, bring almost as many people as those who drive to school. And when those games end, you see hundreds of cars storming the road. How will our students stay safe when there is a facility of the same magnitude releasing just as much traffic onto the street? It is irresponsible for the town to allow this area to be rezoned, and I feel it would be endangering the students and citizens of Oro Valley. Thank you for your time.
Next, we have Clint Kays, Laurel Marble, and Dion Vaughn.
Hello. Here we go. My name is Clint Kays. I'm a resident of Oro Valley, and I'm also a member of Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene, and I'm here in support of this sports ministry facility proposed to all, meaning everyone in Oro Valley and the greater Tucson area. My wife and I moved our family here from a tiny, unknown little podunk town of Portland, Portland, Oregon, known for community functions like 100 Nights of Antifa. My hometown, where I lived for 60 years, my hometown is not a hometown anymore. It's unsafe. Oro Valley is now my hometown, and OVCN is not a, excuse me, and OVCN has been my home church since September of 2020, and I love them both. OVCN has shown that they have exceeded the requirements and the needs set forth by the city council, staff, per the statutes or plans set, maintaining the quality of public life here. Again, that was exceeded in all areas that I've heard. I've been to many of these meetings. I think I missed one. We all understand about change. You know, change is inevitable, as many have spoken about. My life was transformed by the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That was a huge change. And that's what this whole thing is about. This whole facility is about life and love and giving that outwardly that this church has shown to people here in the community. Surrounding everyone with the love of Jesus. It's about the next generations, all of our neighbors, all of our neighbors here, everyone. And the health and the spiritual health of our future as a community together. I kind of feel like the doc from Back to the Future. Your future depends on it, on this church and their outreach to those kids, shaping their character, leading them to our Lord to become great, great citizens here. So Portland, where I'm from, being open to crime and unenforced laws, our borders down here are open, bringing in many things. The fentanyl, for one thing, sex trafficking, other drugs, cartel gangs, criminals, criminal behavior are coming here and elsewhere. There's abuse, stranger danger to children and adults. If I may go on, amidst all this going on around us is this beacon of hope of OVCN and the volunteers who love to serve. I've never seen a church with so many volunteers pouring out love to the community. I could list all the things that I did that have already been said that this church is doing. The cost was hearts full of love for others. Jesus came to serve and save, and OVCN is emulating that to this community and other communities in the world who they're reaching. Every community needs an OVCN with this outreach and outpouring of love. OVCN is the hands and feet of our Lord Jesus. We are led by our Lord and fed by our Lord, and we only wish to share his love and life with everyone. This is your chance to enhance our community and its character by voting yes for the OVCN Sports Ministry Facility. You have a choice now to look outside Look at the public at large. Look outside ourselves to the marginalized as they matter too. Be one of the chosen as he has chosen you at this moment in time. Choose him, the light and the life and the heart and the soul of love to serve and to save others.
I'm sorry, do the time, sir, Mr. Case.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, sacrificed for us all.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Laurel Marble. My husband and I also have two properties within a mile of the church. We do go to the church. We didn't become members until this past fall. When I heard about this proposal, I was so excited. I have children and grandchildren that I have raised in this, well, my children I have raised in this area, and my grandchildren, to give them a place to come that is safe, that I am comfortable with, that is just going to be a beacon of light for their life. I just can't thank you enough for approving this and allowing us to be able to walk to go, because from where we live, we can just walk. And I'm excited about this opportunity for my grandkids. Thank you.
Dylan Bond. Next, we'll go to Sunny Durant and Claire Henderson. Sorry if I messed up that name.
Good evening. I didn't prepare anything and wasn't planning on speaking, but here I am. I'm a resident of Oro Valley. I live actually right above the I in Linda, so I'm pretty close. My wife and I bought our house back in 2003, and I must mention I'm a retired builder developer, so I'm kind of used to these presentations. But that aside, we bought the house thinking we were going to do a flipper, and we fell in love with the house and decided to stay. Because we love the area, because we love the peace. This is one of the oldest subdivisions, the Linda Vista Sisters Tracks, is one of the oldest subdivisions in Pima County. I've built here in southern Arizona, among other places, since 1967. So I've seen the growth that has occurred. And I have to say to the church, I appreciate and I respect everything that they are trying to do with their mission. I have the utmost respect for that. But why here? That's my question. Why here? I know that the cost of that property is probably less expensive than going out on a commercial area on Oracle Road or up in one of the industrial plants. But this area has always been intended to be our 144. 3.3 acres. And I've watched the church. Again, I've been in my home since 2003. When we bought, it was hardly noticeable. There was virtually no traffic. There wasn't a problem with noise. We knew the school was there. We dealt with the school. We knew the school was there when we purchased the property. But after the first after the first expansion of the church, things changed dramatically. And with this expansion, it's going to change even worse. I urge you to make a negative vote. Thank you.
Next up, we have Claire Hendrickson. Claire Hendrickson. Hearing none from Claire Henderson, we're going to go ahead and close the public meeting at this time, and we will take a brief 10-minute recess and reconvene after that. We would like to bring us back into session for regular session.
I don't normally make these comments at these kinds of meetings, but at this point I think it's important that I just enter a few short comments. The Commission has a great deal of information to consider regarding the OVCN PAD rezoning application. In addition to everything that's been presented over the meetings that have been held, the Commission will also be considering the legal advice given to them in executive session. It's important to note that this legal advice cannot be shared with the public during this part or any part of any open meeting. It's now time for the Commission to deliberate and make their recommendation to Council.
Public hearing has been closed. It is time for the Commissioners for questions for the staff and or for the applicant. Does any Commissioners have any questions or for the staff or applicant?
Chair Harrington, I have a question for the applicant. Good evening, Mr. Oland.
Good evening.
My question is, why would the applicant go to such substantial lengths, acquiring additional property and engaging with external stakeholders and partners on the assumption that rezoning would be approved?
Commissioner, we never made that assumption. The church acquired that property. They acquired property around their facility in at least two pieces with the eye towards eventually expanding the campus. As they did that, I don't know that they had any super specific things in mind, but certainly there was no presumption that it was going to be approved, whatever it was. Although knowing that there are religious land use protections in place, certainly there is knowledge that a lot of things aren't on the table for discussion. But I don't think it would be accurate to say that there was ever an assumption.
Fair enough. And a follow-up question, if I might, Chair Harrington.
Yes.
Has the applicant looked at other locations that might be more compatible with this use, with the intended or proposed use?
Sure, Commissioner. So the answer to that is no, because they've made a significant investment in this campus over the years, and they have been there for a while. And that argument cuts both ways, right? Where what I heard a lot this evening was that this would be great for the community, just not here. So there was a general. At least what I heard was a general admission that that this would be good for the greater community, the greater Oro Valley community, but not near me. I don't know where else in Oro Valley you'd go where that wouldn't be the case, because you'd hear exactly the same thing. And I've been doing this for almost 25 years in Oro Valley, so I know that's true. But no, the short answer is they haven't looked elsewhere because this is home for them. And they've invested in it significantly over the years.
Thank you, Mr. Oland.
Yep.
Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other commissioners with questions? Commissioner Nichols.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Oland. How you doing?
Good evening.
Question, could you describe the parking situation as it exists today and how it will exist in the future with this proposed development.
Sure. So the parking situation right now is strained a couple times a week. There are two peak times when there are more cars on campus than most other times, and that would be Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. What this expansion will do, you'll notice on the site plan, there's quite a bit of parking proposed. And we've taken a close look at that, and the church has taken a look at their programming for the overall campus, and acknowledging that to run every single facility on campus at once wouldn't work. They know that, and so they've gone ahead and agreed to those conditions that staff has requested, and that's largely based on parking. But expanding the parking here will allow them to conduct anything that they're envisioning within the entire campus and self-park. There will be, several exceptions over the course of the year. And that's the case for this entire activity center here on Kaya Concordia, right? You've got Easter service, you've got Christmas service, you've got CDO's graduation, you've got the aquatic center when they have a huge tournament, things like that. So in those cases, any of those facilities end up needing additional parking. And as Pastor Collins pointed out, the Nazarene Church's parking lot has been available and used regularly by those other facilities. There was mention of the agreement with Amphi that we have requested. We've met with Todd Yeager. We met with him quite a while ago, and he was enthusiastic about this. We haven't pushed on that lately. This is just getting through the process here in Oro Valley. Has been a more protracted process that we were focusing on. Long term, we would like to ink a deal with Amphi to memorialize the agreement that they've had for a long time, that would allow overflow parking during those events. So, but since that agreement is not yet in place, another one of the conditions on the list from staff has to do with getting a special use permit for those big events so that we can make sure that whatever expected extra parking is accommodated somewhere that is controlled and appropriate.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Vice Chairman Sterling.
Mr. Olin, I noticed that we were talking about the hours of opening, and it runs after 1 o'clock on Sunday through Monday. It goes all the way from 9 p.m. latest, and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's 10. Would it be possible to consider no sports activity on Sunday after 1 o'clock?
So Commissioner, this kind of gets back to the long conversation that we've been having with members of town about what is a sports activity. The primary concern that staff had expressed was with major sports activities, if there were a tournament or something. But to have a soccer practice, for example, a bunch of five-year-olds running around out there with a collection of their parents and a couple of coaches when there's not a worship service going on in the main sanctuary, there's not really a reason to restrict that. That's not a use that's going to cause any sort of disruption. So we would push back against that kind of restriction just because I don't see a benefit in that. I think that the hours of operation and the other timely restrictions that are in the conditions Those are thought through and tied to traffic and actual programming, and I think those are meaningful and good, because they will help avoid particular congestion. But Sunday afternoon is not one of those times, so I don't think an additional restriction there would make a whole lot of sense.
The other thing I wanted to ask you was the main issue about the lighting. Would you consider down to six lights?
So I'm not a lighting engineer, but what I've been told and what has been reviewed by the town's consultant is that the number of lights is specific for this design, and it's what's necessary to provide safe play, but also minimize light trespass. So, you know, the town code says that there can only be so many foot candles of light crossing a property boundary, and then beyond that. We've been asked to increase those to almost nothing at the property line, and then darkness, I think 10 feet back, it was 0.1 foot candle or something like that. And to reduce the number of lights would either have to go up higher to reduce the number. If you go down in height, you have to increase the number. So right now it's optimized the way it is to light the field and some of the surrounding parking and not go out. And so, you know, one of the things that I think has been maybe envisioned incorrectly for a while now is folks see those lights at CDO and they think, well, that we're just going to build the same thing. And those lights are horrendous. They're decades old. They've got no shielding, nor do they have to, because AmFi doesn't have to follow the rules. It's not at all comparable. It's old technology that wasn't subject to any sort of mitigating design. It's completely different what's proposed here. And again, the town's lighting consultant has reviewed the design and the photometric map and everything, which I could pull up to show exactly how those poles at those locations, at those heights, with these particular fixture heads, are going to achieve the level of control that is required.
There was mention about other satellite locations. One was mentioned Saddlebrook, and you have a Saddlebrook campus. Oh, the assistant pastor said that. What's minister.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
Could you explain a little bit about what's activities and the goals of that?
Yeah, so many churches, as they expand and grow and look to increase their influence and impact in a community, will open what is called a satellite campus, and that simply serves as an additional congregation at another location with some overlap in ministry initiatives, but oftentimes with separation of ministry goals. So Saddlebrook Ranch is a campus that we opened specifically to minister to our 55-plus community, both here in Oro Valley and heading out towards Catalina and Saddlebrook Ranch. So the mission of that campus is different in a lot of ways than the mission of our main campus. There's no children's facilities out there. There's no youth activities. It's specifically designed to reach the retired community that lives in that area, and we utilize the facilities that are available out there to do that. Does that help you? Okay.
One other question I had, Mr. Owen. You know, the building structure height, you know, the maximum is 42, and most gymnasiums are no more than 36. Is there a need for the 42 feet?
So if you remember that slide from Ms. Oden's presentation, it did articulate quite a bit. Optimally, when you are playing volleyball, that's really the highest height requirement creator. Said poorly, but I think you understand what I mean. So what the architects did is they looked at what they needed inside the building functionally, and then they added different architectural elements along that roof line to change it up. So it's 42 feet right there, you know, in that one portion, and then it goes down to 30s and something. I'd also point out that I believe that portion, it was down sort of in the southern part, and the height, that's within the PS zoned area, and the height limit down there already permits that height.
So after 36 feet, then it's just going to be airspace? It's open like that?
I don't know that for certain, but I do know that this design was created for architectural reasons and functional reasons, and this was a good balance as determined by staff. I couldn't agree to drop that. I don't know if there's some element within the building structure at that point that necessitates the 42, but it was looked at with staff and determined that, you know, that little pop up there makes sense aesthetically and or functionally. Thanks.
Commissioner Nicholson.
Yeah, Chair Harrington, thank you. Mr. Oland, would the applicant consider a condition that the rezoning be contingent on the property being used for religious purposes?
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that. That's what we're doing.
I suppose we could add that.
Yes, certainly, and that could be part of the motion. I'd ask perhaps to explain a little bit your intent in achieving that, because I'm not sure that's clear.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Vella. At least one or two comments were made that possibly the property could be flipped and turned into a Walmart or something like that. So I guess the question is, could we include a stipulation that it be used for religious purposes?
I'd be comfortable with a statement that said it has to be used for religious purposes, and everything we're proposing falls in that category. Yeah.
What happens if the town...
Can you... I'm sorry, Pastor, would you come up to the microphone? We can't hear you.
So just playing this out here...
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, what it is just to make sure that it's continued to be used as a religious institution. We're not saying that you can't use the space for any other purpose. It's a religious institution, and that's never been an argued point. I think where Mr. Nichols is going is to that.
So could the police department continue to come use the facility?
It's still going to be a religious institution that the police department are visiting.
I'm just making sure.
I'm not trying to say that you can't do anything else in there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what all's baked into that. If the intent is really just to keep this from ever being a Walmart, sure. but if the intent is for this to, if the intent for that condition is to somehow restrict the way the church is using it or planning to use it, then we can't agree to that.
So if I may, Chair, Member Nichols, I'd be glad to work on some wording of the condition, because I want to be real sure that, for example, staff is not being put in the position of deciding what is a religious institution versus not. I, from what I understand, your intent is that, let's say, if a secular business that runs gyms, for example... that they can't own it and still have those zoning entitlements. That's what I understand is your intent. We don't want to get in the business of parsing whether or not who the church is inviting constitutes a religious use or not. Am I understanding your intent?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Right. I'd be glad to work on some wording and circle back.
Nichols, did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner Posey.
Thank you. How are you, Mr. Oland?
Good, thank you.
Good.
One of the things I was curious about is like the chronological order of the construction, the projects. Do you have that?
Commissioner, are you talking about the past projects or the proposed projects?
The proposed.
Sure. So in terms of phasing, the plan right now is to do the field first and the building second. That's subject to, maybe they're both at the same time. Maybe the building goes first. There's no set plan in terms of what's proposed, but whatever phasing goes in, obviously all of the parking and other improvements to support that phase would also have to be built at that time.
Okay. I'm just, thinking if it, both of them happen at the same time, that might be a lot of chaos, but okay.
Not sure.
And but also I want to echo what Vice Chair Sturman was talking about, the lights. And I'd like to see the time actually changed to be earlier, where you stop your activities, because we have two of the problems are lights, and then also the noise. So that could possibly stop more if you just lower the times. Like if you've got here, you can make it clear across the board, like say 8 o'clock, close, shut down.
Yeah, that would, Commissioner, that would have a significant impact on the programming. I mean, those summer nights, especially when it does cool off, that's really valuable time for those facilities to be used. We did staff actually asked that we knock it from 10 down to 9 for most of the week, which we did agree to. Beyond that, I'm not in a position to agree to that.
Not even consider it whatsoever.
Can't. I mean, it would cut into the mission, and I don't think there would be a big benefit. CDO's active past that.
Okay. Also, the stadium where you're talking about where your sports activity is going to be happening. And did I understand that there's not going to be any bleachers?
Correct.
So what are the spectators going to do?
Well, the spectators are going to be just like if you would go to a park somewhere else. Some folks will bring a chair, folding chair. Some folks will sit on the grass. It's just like a soccer field.
Okay. Just in the stadium, seats would not be put in a later time.
Yeah, so there's a, sorry to cut you off. There's no stadium. It's just a field.
I'm sorry. It's pretty big. So I'm sorry. Wrong word. Okay. The seating would not be put in at another time.
Yeah, we're not planning to put in bleachers. That doesn't line up with how they want to use the field.
Okay. It's
mostly parents and grandparents and people. If there's a soccer game or something going on, it's going to be people who brought the kids there or people who are related to the kids who just want to come watch.
I'm just thinking if they had a lot of seating, then it would impact their noise quite, a lot. So.
Yeah, no plans to do any seating.
Thank you.
Any follow-up questions or any questions?
All right.
Any other questions from any other commissioners? Well, actually, I have a follow-up question from Vice Chair Sherman. One of his questions he asked was the height of inside of the building. And from what I'm reading, it says 42 foot from the architect on the outside. So is the actual inside of the building 42 feet or is it 36 feet? I wasn't really clear on the answer that you gave earlier.
Sure, Chair.
the outside, the highest point of any of the architectural elements is 42 feet. I don't think in that area the inside is that high. It's probably higher than 36. I don't know. I don't have those plans in front of me. But it's as high as it needs to be for the uses inside. And then the outside elements vary a little bit. But I don't know that it's an even 36 on the inside. I don't think that's true.
Okay, so I'm just asking questions. So the exterior have varying roof lines, but the interior is all one level, one height?
Sure, yeah. Well, he's talking about the whole building. So I think for the northern portion where the indoor courts are, that's a uniform height inside, even though the roof line varies a little bit. Obviously, the classroom area is lower significantly, and that's the part that's closer to Calle Concordia. That central area where the championship court is, that is also the main youth worship area. And then that sort of wedge shape in the middle, that's the main entry. I think those have some additional, HVAC and other utility elements that probably require a little bit more interstitial space above the normal ceiling. But I would also point out that, those heights down in the area that's already PS zoned, those are already permitted by existing zoning. And it's right next to buildings over here on Amphi that are as tall or taller. So we nestled that building down in that part of the site on purpose because of that.
Thank you. I was just clarifying that the interior of the gymnasium portion was all the same height, not varied roof inside.
I believe it is.
Thank you for that answer.
Yeah.
My secondary question is Vice Chair Sternman also asked about the lights. I know that's a contentious issue there, and I'm not sure if you have your expert on the line still or not, but one of the questions was if there's a different arrangement of the lights. I know the way the lights that I see on a diagram here, they're all kind of uniform on each side. Did he look at a different arrangement of the lights? Because I know that could be staggered a little differently to give you different coverage. I'm not sure if that is possible or not. I don't know if you have your expert still on the line or not.
Sure, cheers. I think High Kaplan is on the line. He's actually your expert.
If I may help a little bit here,
yeah.
because as I think Mr. Olin described earlier, staff took a very involved approach to designing the lights. So the staff, we actually hired our own independent consultant who's on the line. That's not the applicant. The applicant had their own separate consultants. And so working with Mr. Kaplan, we went through several months of design and redesign to optimize, because every change to the lighting in terms of height and placement involves trade-offs. So the configuration you're seeing is less than what you usually find at high schools and even what's being proposed in Arnoron Howe Park. Usually you're at 90 feet, okay? So we went with as low as we could go and as few as pole possible, but also keeping in mind what does that do to the amount of lumens required. So the lower you go, the brighter the lights, the more the halo effect and bigger impact on the neighbors. Higher up, obviously you can see them from a greater distance. So it really represents, in our mind, through technical review, the best optimal compromise. I would be concerned about changing that configuration without really understanding what's happening in terms of a trade-off. So, certainly would be glad to research that further if need be. But I really wanted to put the stamp out there that staff very much drove the design in terms of trying to optimize. This is being built to a higher standard than any lighting facility, public lighting facility, or sports field lighting facility in southern Arizona. So the church has gone certainly the extra mile on this particular issue in terms of the design. So, thank you.
Thank you. We're aware of the concession of the 70-foot. The church has made a concession on that. One last final question that I had was about one of the speakers came up about flooding, and I think this is going to be towards the staff. If staff can talk about that, because they had a concern that there would be flooding due to the new proposed building. Mr. Kessler.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Harrington, Commission. The answer is no. By code, we're required to mitigate all of the post-developed flow. That is, there's existing flow out there. Town's very aware of the area. There's not a lot that can be done. If there was, it would be done a whole lot a long time ago. There's a lot of sheet flooding. It's a large mesa. The Carmack Wash holds a certain amount of it, but there's just a large flat land that is contributing to the flooding in the area. However, the church, as they have developed through time, they've been required to put in detention and retention basins. This is no different. They'll be required to put in those facilities that are required to hold back the drainage that is created by the new hard surfaces. This includes buildings and sidewalks, hardscape, and asphalt.
Thank you, Mr. Kessler.
Thank you.
Any follow-up questions from any of the commissioners? Hearing none.
Chair Harrington, may I put forth a motion?
Commissioner Allah, Ryan.
Chair Harrington, I move to recommend denial of a rezoning from PS Church of the LDS PAD and R1-144 to planned area development for the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene, located at the northeast intersection of Calle Concordia and Calle Buena Vista, based on the finding that it is incompatible with current general plan and land use designations.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Ms. Sangona, can we have a roll call?
Commissioner Nichols?
Nay.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Vice Chair Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Harrington?
Nay.
To let everybody know, the motion to deny was passed 3-2.
Okay. Just one moment, folks.
Mr. Harrington, we should probably still continue because this is a recommendation to Mayor and Council. You work on the architectural part of it so that the Mayor and Council have something to work on when it gets to them.
All right. We have item B. Do we have a motion on the table?
I'll get that one for you.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan.
I move to recommend approval of the conceptual architectural for new concession and multi-purpose building for the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene, located at the northeast intersection of Calle Concordia and Calle Buena Vista, based on the finding that the request complies with all applicable zoning code criteria.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Ms. Sancona, could we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Nichols?
Aye.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Vice Chair Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Harrington?
Aye. All right. That is
I think now you're under the next item, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Next item. Do we have a motion for next item?
It's the planning update, Mr. Chair.
That last motion was 5-0. Okay. Next item we have is the planning motion. Does staff have a planning update for us?
One moment, Chair. I'm just trying to catch up.
Mr. Vella got bumped from his laptop. Hang on.
Thank you.
Pardon me, Chair, members of the Commission, for the delay. So wanted to let be known that coming up March 7th, we will have our third in a series of four community engagement plan meetings, which the Vice Mayor described at the beginning of the hearing. Hope to see you all there. We certainly need your help. The next meeting, come Thursday night, we're really trying to drill down to identify specific outreach techniques, whether it be surveys, web polling, different types of means to reach the community to engage them in the upcoming general plan effort. So please, please, please be there. Be here in council chambers, 6 p.m. Let's see. Also, March 7th, we have a conditional use permit request for Caliber Collision, located within the Mercado del Rio Shopping Center. We also have another public hearing for a conditional use permit for a proposed self-storage facility in that same shopping center, the Mercado del Rio. And that shopping center is the one that's immediately behind the Target that you find out on Oracle. So, all right. So that's just kind of the business end. And I wanted to really say a quick note on the non-business end. I wanted to thank Miss Hannah Odom for her service with the town. Tonight is her last presentation before the Planning and Zoning Commission. She's moving on to greener pastures, and I'm super proud she's pursuing her interests, particularly in transportation and sustainability. So I just wanted to throw it out there, a massive thanks to Ms. Odom for the last 5 years of service, professionalism, smarts, and just a great person to work with. So just wanted to lay it out there, and thank you, Ms. Odom.
To Ms. Odom, we definitely from the Planning and Zoning Commission would like to thank you for all your service and all the help that you've given to the Planning and Zoning Commissioners and other staff for all that you've done and presented to us. And we wish you the best and well on your new endeavor with PAG. And hopefully we'll see you around at some of the other meetings. Thank you. Any other commissioners have anything to say to Ms. Odom other than wishing her well?
I thought your presentation tonight was excellent, as always, and we'll miss you.
And I really thank you because you've always, in our site visits, clearly explained the borders and also all the technical aspects. Of, Hannah, you just do a great job. Thank you.
I do too, Hannah. I appreciate your professionalism and your kindness. Thank you.
Thank you. Helpful, Hannah. We wish you well.
With that said, I will call for a motion to adjourn.
Don't move.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion
aye.
Adjourned.
Aye.
Thank you.